All right, good evening, everybody. Welcome to National Liberty Alliance Monday night's conference call. Today's Monday, April 14th, 2014. I guess we got quite a few things to share tonight. I think we'll start off with the fact that we have now constituted our 10th state. So we should be getting really excited about this, and this should kind of start pushing the other states to move along here. We got to get going and get this whole nation done. We're anticipating to finish the entire nation, or at least pretty much almost every county, by the time within 4 months. We need to do it faster than that if possible. As we were talking about just a few minutes ago, prior to the beginning of this recording, we don't have much time left. We're out of time. And anybody who's watching anything that's going on in the news or paying attention, and you could see the BS in the news, they're telling you half the stories, you pick the rest of it up online, so you can see they're setting us up here. There is no time left. I don't know how else to try to get people moving. You know, tonight we're online. We usually draw a pretty good crowd. At this point, we have about 110 people. A lot of people often come in late. We usually hit about 300, at least we have been the last few weeks. We've been hitting about 200-300 people. Well, actually, I think the last week we did 305. But that's not enough. That's not enough. We've got thousands of people registered on our site. We should have a lot more than 300. We have many, 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 many thousands of people that haven't even registered. But they are following along. They're kind of just on the fence there. A lot of people are frightened. We don't have time to get frightened. You know, if I start thinking about what I'm doing, maybe I wouldn't do it. So we just don't have the time. Either we're going to save this nation or we're not. I mean, you're not going to be able to save it later. You can't hide under a rock right now and figure later on we'll fix it. Because when it gets to that point, you know, it's just going to be pretty bloody. And they got some amazing weapons, I'm sure. So we need to do it with the pen, and we need to do it through the system that exists. So come on, let's get all of our – I say this often. I don't know whether I said it last week, but I will say it this week. I'd like when we go into open conversation, and anybody who wants to pick up the mic and talk has a question or a comment, they can put themselves into the box. What is that, Gerard? I think it's star 6 and then star 1. Is that what it is? Anyway, I think that's what it is, star 6 and star 1, and you'll go into the box and get in line. We just don't have the time, so we got to get moving. We just have to do it. I asked this question before. I'm going to ask it again when we come in. I'd like to get some good reasons why. If your county, if you go onto the website and look on your state and go looking to see and find out if your county has been constituted. If you don't know, call up your state coordinator and find out, or call someone else in your county. And if it hasn't been constituted, I'd like to know why you can't constitute that within the next 2 weeks. And I say 2 weeks because we have, of course, a lot of holidays coming up. We have Passover and we have Easter. So, but I'd like to know why we can't get your county done in 2 weeks. I just would like to know why. It's such a simple thing, making a few phone calls, printing out a few pieces of paper, and it takes 35 minutes. You show 3 videos. You don't even have to speak. You spend 2 minutes introducing yourself and what you're doing, and let's watch the videos. And after the videos, all those in favor of reinstating the common law grand jury here in the county of whatever it is, raise your hand. All opposed, raise your hand. You'll find that it's usually unanimous. In some cases, it's overwhelming majority, but it's rarely anything other than those two things. You sign all the papers. It's a little bit, you know, just paper, three affidavits, and one piece of paper with 3 signatures. You put it all together, and you're done. There's nothing to this. Jump in the water. It's fine. Okay? We got to get it done. Let's get it done. Because when it's time to go and do with the business we have to do, then you got to say, wait a second, I got to constitute my. We haven't got time for that. Get this out of the way now. You don't have to file it. You can put it in your desk. You can put it in your file cabinet. You can put it away somewhere in a drawer. Just protect your paperwork and keep it. And when you feel comfortable, you file it. When you got a whole bunch of other counties around you ready to file, you file together. But my goodness, let's get this job done. We're wasting our time not getting this out of our way and set to the side. We need it done, and we need it done now. So if we're going to save our nation, let's do it. Other than that, I would like to know who, I'd like to know if there's anybody here that can give us a good reason why it can't be done in the next 2 weeks. Right now, we are doing pretty good, though, in some places. We have 344 counties constituted out of 3,142. So we got a little over 10% of the nation done. That's not bad, okay, but not good enough either. You know, if we didn't have such an emergency and if we had another couple of years, well, then fine. But we don't have a couple of years. We don't have time. We just constituted our 10th state, Maine. Maine came on board this weekend. We now have 10 states, 10 out of 50. That's 20%. 20% of this, isn't that 20%? Let me think about that. Yeah, 20%. We've got 10 done out of 50. So we got 20% of the states done. That's pretty darn good. What about the other 80%? What about the other 90%? Let's get it done. So welcome, Maine, with the other nine states. We're going to do what we got to do. We are creating a curriculum. This is extremely important. We have to start identifying the administrators. So I'm hoping in the next couple of weeks, okay, that we will be able to set this up online sooner than later, maybe a week. You know, we're always trying to get money. You know, we need money, by the way. Anybody who can send us $5 a month, you wouldn't believe what $5 a month can do if everybody did that. You know, we got thousands of people. If everybody sent $5 a month, we can pour in $20,000, $30,000 into the website and really get some really good things going. We can set ourselves up for the other nations that want to come in. We can get the testing process going for administrators. We can get the streaming going for Monday Night Call so people don't have to call in on the phone. They can come in and come right into our text chat and listen to the live stream. Of course, if you want to talk to us, then you'd have to call us on the phone. But a lot of people like to just listen. And some people, you know, like to listen and then sometimes call in and talk or whatever. Anybody who can afford the $5 a month, you know, just go up on our donation button, push it, and send it in. That's all it is $5 a month. We calculated that to be equal to if you bought a cup of coffee every morning and a roll and butter, the taxes on that alone throughout the week would come to about $5. Okay? So $5 is not bad, and considering what we're going to get our republic back. So other than that, we're kind of at the mercy of waiting for some people who are promised money or waiting for more people to give us money so that we can go out and do the things we want to do. One of them is setting up this administrative thing, you know, this curriculum for administrators. And again, for the streaming, we hope to have that done in a couple of weeks, too. A lot of people, you know, a lot of people don't want to talk, so they'd much rather be on the website in a chat room and just listening to the stream. Okay. The curriculum we're setting up, if you are pursuing that position, then you must go through the curriculum. It'll be a testing process for administrators. We've got a lot of subjects that that's going to be a required course to go through in order to become an administrator. We're all on the job training. As long as you're going through that process, and if we get into the court systems and start working there, we're not through that process, that's fine. We just got to continue on our schooling as we do whatever work we can do as the administrators. But the subjects that we'll be involved with will be the common law, the Constitution, trial by jury, American history, 5,000-year leap, individualism versus collectivism, and then we got 18 documentaries done by G. Edward Griffin. Each one of those, this is all video and audio. And we got a lot of this stuff written down too, but, you know, we got the video and the audio. Each audio, you'll have at the end five questions, and you'll need three right in order to pass by that particular section. We're probably going to do a marking system live, you know, in other words, we have a group of people who will mock the answers, correct or incorrect. And as long as you get three, then you get credit for that particular video or audio you go through, and you move on to the next one. And you don't have to wait for you to get the answer. You'll get a scoreboard for yourself. For instance, you'll sign up, and you'll create a page, a private page for you. It's only you see it. And that private page will show you what part of the courses you've accomplished and what parts you need to do. Continue. And if you don't get at least three out of the five questions right, then you'll get a message that you have to on how many you got right, and you'll have to go back and kind of listen to it to find out the answers to the other questions that you missed, and then get them in there. We realize that this is an extremely important thing, because this will get rid of a lot of people who are here for the wrong reasons, because a lot of those people aren't really interested in going through this kind of a work process. And if they do, maybe at that point they'll change their reasoning on why they're really here. But look, it's honorable, and we have to go through the course. We can't fool ourselves. We can't put it off. We can't just say, well, we'll get to it at another time. No, we need to get through this process. People need to understand what we're doing in New York, you need to do in your state. And we're going to, well, right now we're recording everything we're doing. All you have to do is push on the news button. But what's going to happen on the 24th of this month in that courtroom is so important for everyone to understand the strategies and the processes that we are going through. And we haven't explained them fully. Anybody who knows common law and has been working at this stuff for a while, reads through the paperwork, they'll kind of puzzle it together and start to realize and understand what we're really doing. Okay? When people find, we're going to explain exactly what we're really doing once we get past the 24th, okay? But we're not going to get into that detail now. But it is extremely important that we get people who understand the common law and the process. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to get your state on board. Someone has got to surface. Now, we do have quite a few states out there with people that are very capable of doing what we're doing, you know, quite a few states. But there are quite a few states who are not. We've got quite a few states out there, unfortunately, that still don't have state coordinators. And if you go out there and look at the states, you will find that the states that have state coordinators are getting their counties going. It's happening. They're electing their processes, and they're moving, and they're having meetings, and they're doing things. But the states that do not have coordinators, they're like stagnant. They're moving very slowly. There's little to no elections going on. They have no meetings. That's the difference between people having a coordinator to get things going and people not having a coordinator. And a coordinator's job is to get things going, to make sure people are talking to each other, to make sure that there's a meeting once a week for the purpose of organizing. That's the first order of a business, is organizing and educating yourself. That's the first order of business. And of course, getting our counties constituted. And so everybody go up there and take a look and know who your state coordinator is. Give them a call, talk with them, and partnership with them so you can partnership with all the other county organizers. And if you discover you don't have a state coordinator, well, why don't you volunteer? Let's get it going. Let's get your state moving. Click on the state coordinator tab itself. And you will see instructions underneath that. All you have to do is go to, contacts, and then click on state coordinator. And the instructions for the state coordinator, the job, and what it curtails is right there on that page. And even if your state has a coordinator, if you want, volunteer to be another state coordinator. States can have two, three, four, as many as they want. But we need to get the states done. The bigger the state, the more coordinators, obviously, we will have. So let's get that done. Otherwise, we're not going to get the real job done. So anyway, as I was saying, there'll be five questions for each audio or each video. Some sections, like the documentaries, might be 2 hours long or an hour and a half, so we might do 10 questions for them. And there are 18 documentaries up there. And there are other things that, there are other places where there are a couple of things that are kind of long, they're long videos. What we'll do, we'll ask 10 questions instead of 5. But generally, it'll be 5 questions. As I was saying, we will have four or five people, maybe more, volunteers, who will look at the work, the answers, and mark the tests. And we decided we're not going to do true and false, because that doesn't mean anything. We're not going to do A, B, C, or D, because we really need to kind of get to know this stuff. And again, you go through it the first time and you don't get it, that's fine. Look, you already know the questions. You'll be looking for the answers. But I want to tell you something. Going back and looking for the answers to try to figure it out really kind of helps you absorb everything. You're listening closer. You're listening to the, oh, that's not it. But you're picking more up. You're going through it a second time. And really all this stuff can be picked up through by osmosis. You know, I didn't sit down and literally sit down to study this or take any tests or anything. I just listened to it over and over and over again. And then at some point, I started to take notes. Because I said, oh, this is important. I need to remember this. I need to know this. I need to be able to recall that, you know, as time went on. But whatever it takes, you got to become good at what you're doing. We got to be able to do our jobs. And again, even without an education, we definitely would do a lot better than what we got. Clearly, these hired help people out there that are running our government is not doing a very good job. All right, handbooks. We released this information last week. I'm going to release it again. This is extremely important. This is our real mission. Other than doing what we just spoke about, we got to get the word out to the people. We need handbooks. Now, I cannot order handbooks until I get an order of 10,000. I thought we'd have a lot more people ordering by now than has happened. I do have a pile of envelopes I got to go through and start processing them. Again, we're not going to be able to send any handbooks out until we have an order of 10,000. Then I can order them and get them at the price that we're selling them for right now. We're selling them for 65 cents a piece. Minimum order of 100. Let me repeat that. Minimum order of 100. You can't buy five. If you want to buy five, find someone who bought 100 and buy it off them. You can only buy by the hundreds. It's not economical. It's got to be. We have to sell them a minimum at 100. Now, the price goes down if you buy, 500. And of course, if you buy 1,000. So people should cluster together and buy 1,000 and split the cost, and you'll get it cheaper. Okay, I forget what it is. Let me open the page up as we're talking. But anyway, I've had some people call me up or send me emails, and they want 5 or 10. I guess they're not listening. You got to get 100 minimum. All right. So if you buy 100 jurist handbooks at 65 cents each, that's $65 for 100. Now that includes everything, delivery and everything. $65 is what you're going to pay, not a penny more. If you buy 500, it's 60 cents a piece. So that's $300, and again, shipping's included. That's it. You pay nothing more. If you buy 1,000, they go at 55 cents a piece. And again, shipping is included. That's $550. Now, $300 and $550 is a lot of money, but not when three, four, or five people are throwing in together. And this way you can get it cheaper. So let's get these things going. This is a very important item because we need to be given them. Look, we went down to a couple of sheriff's offices. We went to see the prosecutor. We're going to go see another prosecutor, I think, this week. And it would be great to have these handbooks to give them one. We see judges. We see clerks. We should give them one. You see any of the deputies or your bailiff, you give them a handbook. Okay? These are jurist handbooks are for your jurist, bailiffs, sheriffs, judges and clerks. It's for all of them. And even people, you go to a meeting and to tell them about National Liberty Alliance, and if you can get 5 minutes, you can plug us for 5 minutes and, hand out the booklets, 10, 15, 20 booklets to the people that are at the meeting and get them out to the front page. Tell them right in the back of that book there's a website. Go out to that front page, watch that video. You're going to be surprised what you're going to find. You're concerned about Agenda 21? Hey, here's the answer. You're concerned about the SAFE Act or they're taking your guns away? Hey, there's the answer. Go out and find out. And so that's how you get people involved. These handbooks are extremely important. Okay, we are up for the date at this point, the 24th of April. I do not think that that's going to be canceled this time. I really don't. But keep your ears to the ground here, because you never know what's going to happen. And I wouldn't like to see people making a trip out. Please, nobody get out. Nobody go out there. If this happens to be canceled, which I do not think it could, it's going to be, but I'm not God. I don't know. Okay? So anything can happen. So if it gets canceled and someone, you know, traveled across the country or across the state, and then they get upset with me because it was canceled, because I didn't tell them, no, it's because you didn't pay attention. We post this stuff on online. We send out emails. You're on the email lists, which is another problem. We get probably about a dozen people out there, maybe more, who have this service that when you send them an email, they want to make sure that you're a live person, so they send you something back, and that's how they're filtering their system. So they're missing out on all of our email. They're not getting any of it, okay, because we're not a live person. Obviously, I can't send out thousands of emails one at a time and look and say, oh, this guy's got a filtering system, and go in there and do anything. I can't do that. But my system does tell me that that's happening. So we don't have the time to go send a special email, click a button, go to a website and click another. We just don't have time to do that. We don't have the money. We don't have the manpower. We don't have the time. So if you've got one of those filtering systems, you obviously are not getting the email. You should talk to the people in your county and in your state. Find out if they have that system, because they're not getting the email. You know, they have this filtering system. They're not getting it. Now, there's a lot of sophisticated stuff out there. I've got some sophisticated stuff on my computer, and I drop a lot of email that's garbage, and just through my own filtering system. And I can always go in there and peek just to go down real quick to see if anything important went out. Unfortunately, I do get way, way too many emails for me to even do that. But up until the time I was that busy, you know, I was able, it worked very well for me. I know Pegasus is out there, totally free. You can download it. That's what I use, Pegasus. It's a very sophisticated program. There's another program put out by the same group of people for free called Mercury. Pegasus is more of a business end side, but Mercury is kind of also, but it's a little simpler. But they both got great filtering systems. And, you know, my email is automatically sorted for me as it comes in, you know, because you set rules up, and it's a very good system. Okay, so the email is a problem, you know, for some people. And again, the handbooks, get the handbooks. Order the handbooks. Let's get 10,000 so we can start getting the deliveries of these things, and let's start saturating our neighborhoods. You know, I know people, money's tight, but you know, it's tight for everybody. It's extremely tight for me too, but I find my way to get the gas into my vehicle to get where I got to go to, and to do what I got to do, and to keep the lights on and whatever. You know, it's difficult, but we got to do what we got to do. We post it up on the news page. If you go to our news page, and right on the top of our news page, one of the first items we have, I wrote this, I'm going to read it. New York Supreme Court, Greene County Courthouse, and I'm going to give you the address and the phone number and the fax number. And you want to write this down, fine. You can go up to the news page and get it and just copy it right off, cut and paste or whatever. But the New York Supreme Court, Greene County Courthouse, that's where we're going to now. We moved from Columbia County to Greene County. 320 Main Street, Catskill, New York, 12514. Their phone number, 518-444-8760. Their fax number, 518-943-0247. Our court hearing is on Thursday, April 24th, 2014, at 9:30 a.m. If you cannot make it, please fax, mail, or call to let them know we are watching. So we're asking everybody across the nation, and to get your friends, your family, everyone, relatives, get your people at your liberty groups, get the people that are not coming to these meetings. And let's everybody get out there. Let's send a fax to these people. Let's make a phone call to these people. Let's send a letter. Do all three or do at least one, but let's do it. Even if you're coming, do one or all three of them also. Let them know we the people are here, we the people are watching, and we want our country back. We're tired of all these criminals running the process. We want our country back. So let's get the message out to them. Okay, Bob Schultz, we the people. I know Bob for quite some time. I met him back in the late 90s, early 2000s. I've been a supporter of his programs, We the People, for quite some since then, way back then. I was involved with him with some lawsuits very early on. Well, the lawsuits came a little later, but he was involved with his symposium and other things going on in Washington. Then he started the lawsuits and so on. And he eventually ended up with the Continental Congress. I think that was in 2009. And for those who don't know about it, on 2010, April, I think it was April 15, 2010, if I recall, one morning, I believe it was a Monday morning, the Continental Congress that had met in 2009 wrote a paper. It's called The Articles of Freedom, on how it was the order from the people to correct this the problems within our government, and we gave them direct orders, okay? Anybody who hasn't read that, we do have a copy of that up on our website right here. You can get that under, where can you get that? I think it's, I moved it, document services, no. I'm not sure where I moved that to. I'm looking for it right now. I think I know where it's at. If you go under news, and look under today's issues. That's it. Look under today's issues. You'll see CC 2009. And you can see all the videos, all the work that Bob had done since the early 2000, all the way up to date, that led to 2009 Continental Congress. You can read the Articles of Freedom. We have them in there on one of those pages, probably towards the end. We have the whole Articles of Freedom there. And on April 15th, I think it was, 2009, in every capital across the nation, every capital for every state, including Washington, D.C., at the very same time, ceremonially, the Articles of Freedom were delivered to the House, both houses of every state, and to the governor, okay? And also delivered to the President, the Congress, and the Senate, the U.S. Senate and Congress, all on the same date, at the same time, and we didn't hear a peep, not a peep. They ignored that. And if they ignored that, how much more are they going to ignore anything you do unless you have power? You need power, and that's what National Liberty Alliance is all about. It's trying to give you the power to take your country and your nation back. Only we the people can save America. The politicians clearly will not do it. They are the problem. And we need to put them back into the constitutional box. And when they step out of that box, we need to sting them like they've never been stung before. Otherwise, we're not going to have our nation back. You know, when the people fear the government, you have tyranny. When the government fears the people, you have liberty. And it's time for the government to fear the people. The reason I'm bringing Bob Schultz up is because on the very same date, and as a matter of fact, this was just recently canceled. Look, we filed our paperwork to go to court for the 7th, the 7th of April. We should have been in the court and moving towards the next process. And that was foiled. And we changed that date to April 24th, okay, at 9:30 in the morning. Now, Bob Schultz, he has a case. He's going right up to the appellate court to argue before the appellate court the New York Constitution. They're trying to do a constitutional convention here in New York State, and they're trying to stack the whole process with politicians and I think maybe ex-politicians. But they're trying to stack them with the politicians. They want to do your Constitution for you here in New York. And it's the same thing they want to do in Washington, I am sure. They, your servants, these people who have done such a marvelous job and really has kept this country safe and has preserved our liberty. Oh, maybe I'm talking about another country. No, that's not us. I forgot. Okay. Not those people. but the people who have destroyed your country, have destroyed your liberty, has ripped up the Constitution, doesn't care about your Constitution, doesn't care about you, don't care about your children. All they care about is their filthy lucre and power. That's all they care about. And until we, the people, wake up and take that power away from them and put them in jail for all those criminal activities if they continue their actions, until we do that, we're just going to end with the total loss of our country, and I do believe it's going to be this year. So, people, we got to do something, and we got to do it now. Anyway, getting back to Bob Schultz. He's up there. He's going to be in Albany before the appellate court, and he had his date at an earlier date, too. And the couple of days, as a matter of fact, I think the day before we established the 24th, okay, that date, I met with Tony down in Westchester, who's very close with Bob, and he says, hey, you know, Bob, they postponed his date, which they just did the day before we got our new date. And I met with him the day after when we were talking, because Tony went up with me to get this stuff, and I said, we're going to do the 24th. And he says, oh, Bob also was pushed back, and he says, I think he's the 24th also. Excuse me. And so, his is on the 24th at 1:30 in Albany. Ours is on the 24th at 9:30 in Columbia County. It's only about a 30-minute, if that, drive from Columbia County Courthouse right up the highway to Albany. I don't think it's more than a half hour. And so what we're going to do is we're asking everybody that comes to our courthouse, we're going to head, instead of having lunch down in Catskill area, we're going to get in our vehicles, and I think someone is renting a bus or putting a bus together for those who are coming by other ways, and we can get them up and back and forth. I'm not sure on that. I'll confirm that later. But instead of having lunch in the Catskill area, we're going to take the drive up or the buses up, and we're going to go to Albany. We'll park our vehicles, and there's a place to eat right there, and there's a big building there. We can go and have lunch right there in the courthouse. It's huge up there, and they got this big couple of places we can eat right there in the buildings. It's all underground stuff, and that's where we'll go. And we want to encourage as many people as possible to get up to this event also and walk in and flood the courtrooms up there in Albany also. And again, he's going to argue before the appellate court. Now, when we sign in, we've been up there before, you have to sign in. When you sign in, you should put next to your name whatever jury you're with, grand jury county you're at. If you're with Dutchess County, we want you to write Dutchess County Common Law Grand Jury next to your name. If you're with Greene County or Ulster County or New York County or whatever county, even if you're coming in from another state, write down whatever your county is and that you're the common law grand jury. This should put a chill on those people up on the appellate court also. We want to flood that courthouse. We want people pouring out of the court doors and all the way down and out the court itself. That's what we want to do. Same thing as we'd love to do this up in Greene County. We're hoping that that's what's going to happen. It sounds like that's what's going to happen, but I can't say that that's what's going to happen. But I do get calls from people all over the country, people coming in from Washington, state of Washington and Oregon. And I don't know if they're going to make it. That was before. I think they're going to try to make it. But we have people coming in from Florida. We have people definitely coming in from Jersey. Lots of people coming in from Jersey, so I hear. Connecticut, New Hampshire. We got people coming in from Pennsylvania. And, of course, all across New York. And we want to flood our courthouse in the morning. And as many people as possible that can come up north, just a half hour further up north, we'll sit down, we'll have lunch together, and then we'll get up into the courtrooms at about 1:15 or so, 1 o'clock, and we'll flood those courtrooms up there. And we'll be there to back up Bob Schultz. We want to let them know we, the people, are watching. Don't think you're going to steal our Constitution from us. You've done enough damage to that Constitution already, and we're going to fix it. But don't think you're going to steal the rest of whatever we got left. And we need to do the same thing for this thing going on in Washington. I don't have a plan or anything for that, but I will tell you one thing. We the people, if we are successful, and I believe we will be successful, either successful or dead, okay, and we will take this nation back, and in the process of taking this nation back, we will forbid them from breaking open that Constitution to make any more changes. You know, I've been told that the 11th Amendment, the 12th Amendment, and the 13th Amendment were done legally, okay? Everything after that was done illegally. And I know everything after that is nothing but garbage, okay? It's destructive. It's double talk. It assists the fiction that they created. But in any event, we don't want any more of that. There's nothing wrong with our Constitution. It doesn't need to be fixed. You know, why don't we just use the one we have instead of trying to make a new one? We're trying to add more. Why don't we first be obedient to what we have before we try to create some more to be obedient to something else? And you know that something else is really something for them to have so that they can fortify their little sandbox that they got going up there. But anyway, we have to do something about that and fix that. All right, let me give you kind of an update of where we're at. We did speak last week. Gerard, I don't know if you want to pipe in here for a while. I'll take a break and talk about a little bit of our plan and what went on, or do you want me to do that? Well, I'll talk until you interrupt me if you want to take this over. We spoke last week, of course. We talked about the fact that we were shot down and they sent our papers back. We did a mandamus. We addressed it to Pudente, and we also addressed it to the two clerks. And we added that to the Quantum, and we're bringing them up to the same. We're bringing Pudente and those two clerks right on the carpet in the same courtroom. They too have to answer to what they've done. They do not have an answer to that, and we're going to go through an indictment process right there in the courtroom. And that's kind of a hint of what we're really doing in this courtroom. And so that's all planned for the 24th, we're going to be going down and talking to the prosecutor of that county, see if he's on board. He's a new guy, so we'll see how much of a criminal he is, or maybe we'll be blessed. We have a couple of very, I'll say, aces in the pocket that we kind of hoped for but never dreamed we can get, and we got them. At least we think we got them. Unless we're being deceived, and you know, I'm always concerned about things when they work out too easy and too quickly, but then yet that's the way God works too. But what we were looking for over the weekend, out of the thin air, I got a phone call, and what we were looking to do, we have someone who thinks that they can help us do it, and if we can do this, we got the thing in the bag. We're going to be super successful on the 24th. But, you know, I don't know, and I can't talk about it, obviously, but we do have a few aces in the back pocket, so to speak. We also have a couple of plans, you know, A, B, C plans. You know, we got a plan A, a plan B, a plan C, and we're even working on a D and an E. You know, there's a lot of things we can do depending on how this thing goes. And it could very well be that this can be the conclusion on the 24th that actually breaks us into the courthouse. But it definitely is the spearheading us in, no doubt about that, into the courtroom. It may take a little longer, but we have other things right behind it happening, and we will reveal them as we go forward. And everything we're doing here in New York is it is the blueprint for your state. You better be paying attention. It is the blueprint. And whoever argues the case in the court needs to understand common law. They need to be aggressive. They need to be someone who doesn't get intimidated by these people. So every state needs one or two or three or four or more people like that. Now, we do have some states that have those kind of people. I know California. We have people in California that can do precisely what we're doing in New York. We have people in Florida that can do precisely what we're doing here in New York. And a few other states, and I'm looking to see if the other states have it. If you don't have it, you got to look for it. We got to pray that these people rise up from amongst us and take the leadership of this particular process, you know, take the helm for us in the courthouse, in the courtroom, and argue the case the way we're doing it in New York. You cannot veer not one iota to the right or to the left with the plan that we have in New York. And again, you know, anybody who reads the paper and understands what we've written down there, they can get it. But we will explain it in great detail once we get past this point. And we'll take it from there. Okay. I guess that's about it. We'll open the mics. Gerard, are you there? Do you have anything you want to pipe in here on before we open the mic up?
Okay. Pretty much covered it all.
All right. Well, we'll speak for about 2 minutes. I want to go get a bottle of water. Okay?
He wants me to speak for two. I'm having a ham sandwich. No.
Put the ham sandwich down.
Anyway, like John said, this is kind of a climax here, or it's the beginning of the climax, either way. But if you understand what we're doing and the implications of it, this is historic. It's very historic. This is as historic as the events that founded this country. And, you know, we have the benefit of history, and that's why we're going where we're going. This was a somewhat of an experiment, and listen, the enemy was there, right on their sides, maybe even with their arm around their shoulders at some point, just like we have them today. And the thing is we know the game, though, and the game never changes, and so we don't have an excuse. We have the light of history to guide our feet now. So if we can stay the course, we have a chance of making this great experiment reach its next stage and truly, truly come from we the people where it belonged from in the first place. And once we get there, we have to make sure that we guard to never let it be taken away again. And we know what they did. And so that's going to be our mission in the future, is to make sure that we educate the children, you know, and we keep control of our houses, our schools, our churches, everything, our legislators, our public officials, that we keep them under control so that we're not asleep while they're doing their dirty work like they do now. You know, it's nothing different. It's still bread and circuses, just like the Romans did, only it's right in your living room now. You know, you got football and beer, and that's all people care about. So, you know, we have to remain vigilant, and we have to spread the word. And listen, when people understand, when they start to see the results of freedom, it's going to go viral anyway. But we just have to make sure that the same old baloney doesn't sneak in. And you know, I'm looking forward to a period of time when it finally settles in, and I can sit back and maybe realize those ideals that I used to have when I was a kid. I used to watch the old Westerns, how they were out staking out property, and everything was free, and you know, all those great ideals about, you know, America and apple pie and the guys with the white hats that you know, have long left my mind, unfortunately. But anyway, look, it's going to be whatever the path is, it's going to be worth the price. And you know, I'd rather die fighting than live, you know, under chains and whimpering. And as far as I can see, this thing that we're doing is really the only thing that you can be doing right now that's actually doing something other than loading a bullet in a gun. I mean, we don't want to go there because, look at freedom lost. Once we lose freedom, we'll never regain it to the point of where we are even today. As bad as it is today, look at, we're meeting here. We're talking. This doesn't happen in lockdown countries, and it's not going to happen very long. Look at that ranch over there. They had First Amendment zones. You get a little pen set up, and you sit inside of, and you could talk. What do they think we are, pigs? get in the pig pen and you can oink in there. I mean, give me a break. They should have ripped them fences down. What they should have done is they should have thrown them BLM guys in there and stacked them in there 100 tall. I mean, First Amendment zones? What the hell is that? I mean, what's the matter with us that we would that we've come to the point that that doesn't incite rage in people? I mean, that's ridiculous. And this is what we've come to. And unfortunately, our children don't even know the difference. Many of them, most of them, the majority of them. And actually, maybe they do. You know, we sell the young people short. They're not very happy, and we don't listen to them. So I think there's a lot of people that are disenfranchised and disgusted with the government. They, you know, young people see with eyes of the youth. And I'll tell you what, nobody can cut you to the quick as quick as a child can. So young people have an understanding that's not jaded like we are by all the hypocrisy that we see around us. And a lot of times they're very much clearer in the problem. They under, you know, they see it because they don't have these preconceived ideas, you know. I mean, look at they've trained us to be slaves. You know, it took me a long time to stop saying certain things that they trained me to say, like my constitutional rights. No, they're not my constitutional rights. I don't get my rights from the Constitution. They're my unalienable rights. You know, everybody's saying, I know my constitutional rights. No, no, no. Your rights are not written down. They're limitless as long as they're not violating my rights. You know, your rights stop where mine begin. And that's the point. You know, they want us to think that they bequeath us with privileges instead of rights. And we've eaten this garbage up. We've licensed ourselves. You know, we've begged. We've demonstrated. We've listen, the government is nobody to play with. I think, who was it that said government is like fire? You know?
That was Washington.
Yeah, it's a force to be contended with. You can use it, but you can get burnt by it. And so you have to be careful with that power, and that's what we let go. We let the fire get out of the pit, and it's out burning. So now it's up to us to start backfires and starting brush fires in people's minds. And it is, you know, it's a big, big job, but guess what? It really goes like a brush fire, because once you proclaim the truth, it stands by itself. If somebody proclaims it, it prevails as long as somebody's willing to proclaim it. And basically everything they've done has made us afraid or embarrassed or any other number of 100 reasons of why people don't stand up and proclaim the truth. Look at the emperor has no clothes. He's naked, damn it. Say it. And what happens? Once the little kid says it, guess what? Everybody sees it. And that's what we have to do. We have to pull the curtain back and declothe the emperor. And that's what's happening now. And it is happening. There is a great awakening. And they're scared, and they're having problems, and they're going to bring to bear, you know, they'll probably get more dangerous as their world starts crumbling. But, you know, we can't shy from this. We have to push through it, because it's the only way with resolve that we're going to straighten things out. And this is our only chance. I think the time is now. If we miss this chance, I don't think we'll ever get another chance. We still have enough freedom. And we're all disgusted enough, and there's enough mixture between freedom and tyranny right now that we can see it. Everybody can see it and feel it. So now it's time to go out there and start proclaiming the truth. And you got to do it, you know. And I'm sick of all the baloney. I'm sick of them labeling me a terrorist, even in my own community. Oh, we got some terrorists up there. Yeah, paper terrorists. Well, guess what? They're the terrorists. You look up the definition, the Homeland Security definition of terrorism, and that's exactly what they do. They're terrorists. They terrorize us with everything they do, with their NDAA and their Patriot Act and their self-written warrants. So, you know, you should be fed up with it, and you should know that there's something you can do about it. And listen, we have truth on our side. There's nothing, you know what I mean? We are fighting the good cause, the right cause. And so you never have to worry about the steps you take or what you do as long as you're acting in honor. Okay, John, I guess you're back.
Yep.
I'll go spread my mayonnaise now and finish.
All right, enjoy your ham sandwich. What do you think, you're a prostitute or something? Okay. All right, we'll take our first caller here. Question, comment, go right ahead. 1201, Jersey.
Is that Hi, you, John Jason from New Jersey. Great to
John
hear you.
John Jason. Oh, I knew a guy named Jason. I didn't know John Jason. How you doing, John Jason?
No. That's all right. This little story. Phil is my John Adams. I was for some strange reason I was calling him John, and then it came to from a one of our people who's in tune to that wisdom, and I'm Benjamin Franklin. So you got the two great patriots coming to guide us. Well, hello.
Yep, we're here.
All right, I don't have a question. I'm just glad everything's happening. I'm really gung-ho. New Jersey is out there with them. I'm trying to get everyone to come up there. Actually, I would love to see at least 25 people from each state come in there. We can have a first continental Congress of the Common Law in Albany.
Well,
I don't want to
burden people to travel all the way across the country, but some people want to do that, and I'm not going to stop them, of course. Right. They're willing to do it, and God bless them. Right. If I was across on the other side of the country and I had the ability to do it and the time to take, I would do it too.
Yeah.
So,
well, again, it would be a great thing to happen, but again, I agree with you, we're all physically strapped, and they're doing it more to us.
Well, we have about 260, 270 people just in New York alone that's registered, and we have more than that. We've got many hundreds more than that in New York, so we should be able to get a good turning from New York. I hope New York's going to respond, and we're trying to kind of figure out, how many people or an idea of how many people might be coming. But we need everybody, and please, don't anybody that, especially if you're in New York, you need to drive the 6 hours, the 2 hours, whatever. You need to do it because this is your state. This is it. This is ground zero. You must come, okay? And others from Jersey and Connecticut, we need your help. Connecticut has some problems. We went out there to help Connecticut. We anticipate going out there to do a lot more for Connecticut. I've figured out exactly what Connecticut needs to be done in their courtrooms under the authority of the grand jury, of course, common law, in order to get their sheriffs back, and a few other problems that they have out there. And we will be out there for Connecticut, and we will come in numbers out there to help them.
Well, I just want you to know that New Jersey's out there from the bottom of Cape May to High Point.
Absolutely.
Park.
And we will be in Jersey when Jersey's turn comes. We will be in Jersey too.
Oh, we didn't be there and didn't make them holler in that pig pen and make sure that we are not we're trying to do a kosher, and that's the whole point is with what we're doing. And it's, mm-hmm. as you said, we can form a grand jury, but we want to have the courthouses as our temple church, so that way we're legitimate and we've done the right thing for our fellow sovereigns in each one of our states, and we're then going forward, and we're on a speed. And basically, as you put it, we're at war, and I don't like violence, but we don't need violence. We have our right. pens, which are far mightier, because the truth that comes out of our minds as we connect to the cosmos is so unique, and we will do a fantastic job with you. John and everyone out there, there's no excuse for anyone not getting the thing done. I just say, folks, if you can't do it, get out of your own way. Let someone else take the leads and be responsible. Don't put anyone down. And someone needs help, bring them up a hand. Because if someone's asking for help and you're not being a good Samaritan, then you're not being a good leader. Because a great leader is always making sure that individual is better than he. Why? Because when you are a great teacher, you always want your students to excel on you, like your children. You always want them to do better. We're all each other's children, and we're going to do fantastic. And with that, John, I bow the floor to you and the rest of our patriots here at this time. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Jason. Yeah, when I've been in business most of my life, many, many years, but I've always been able to make time to be with my family, take the weekends off, and holidays, and and every evening. You know, sometimes I'd have to work late, but generally I was usually home and with my family. But since I've started this, especially this thing with the, you know, going through the courts here the last year, my wife doesn't see me very much. My children don't see me very much. Even though I'm in the house and I'm in the office, I'm all the way in the back room in the office, and my kids come in and out, and my wife, but I try to spend a little time, but that's what I tell them. Look, I'm at war. Make believe I'm not even here, that I am literally at war, because I'm at war. This is the battle I much rather fight than the battle with lead. And so we're trying to stop that battle, and that's what National Liberty Alliance is all about. And I know the people that are, you know, studying us and reading all of the pages and studying all of the, you know, the just the ocean of information we have up here. They know that this is the way, and this is what we need to do. So this is the battle. This is what we have to do. You know, when our founding fathers started the battle, they were 13 colonies, and they came together and created the United States. They united, you know, Jersey, Virginia, New York, and Pennsylvania, and so on. They united, just like we need to unite. We are uniting, and unless we unite, we're not going to win. You know, united we stand, and divided we shall fall. All right, next caller is a wireless caller, 704. You got, no, I'm sorry, 1602. You got the mic.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, I have two things, John. It's Marianne from Phoenix.
How you doing, Marianne?
The first thing is just a comment. I keep noticing, and I'm kind of proud about it, Arizona is the only Western state that's constituted. And I'd love to hear from some other people from other Western states to see how close they're getting and get more of us on the board there. But the second thing is I met Sheriff Mack recently. I was at a Tea Party meeting, and I spoke to him about the common law grand jury, and he was very aroused about the fact that a quote that he was quoted on our website, and he said he never made that quote, and he'd called you to get it taken off.
No. He called me to remove a. I put a 2-minute clip video on our front page, all the way down on the bottom, which really was an advertisement for his book, but it was so powerful an advertisement and laid out the whole process. That's why I put it there. And he called. He didn't call me up. He sent me an email, asked me to remove it, and I removed it. And he was a little upset with that, but. I found out that he had been poisoned about the grand jury from other, and I don't want to get into the story. I think
no,
we did talk
fine.
About this at an earlier time, but he was poisoned by a group doing a international grand jury, and they sucked him into some things and a bunch of other sheriffs, and they went out to try to kind of take over a meeting that the sheriffs were having, and the sheriffs kind of threw up on it. They realized that this was not the way to go. They were really subverting the United States government. And, yeah, that's exactly what they were doing. And they tried to tie them into it. And I think he somehow ties us into that. He doesn't understand what we're doing.
Okay.
But I still support Sheriff Mack. We still support Sheriff Mack. The job he's doing a great job. He's doing the right thing. And he is awakening a lot of sheriffs. And one day... you know, the remedy to poison is truth, okay?
Right.
And sometimes the medicine's hard to take, but until the person believes that they need to take the medicine and gets it in time and takes it down, until then they're not going to get cured. They're going to die of that poison maybe.
Right.
So the remedy's out there. Hopefully one day he's going to take it and he's going to see who and what we are and what we're doing, and he's going to realize that he has been deceived. And he just misunderstood us. And he'll be on board with us when we get to the end of this thing, because we will empower him and his movement and many, many other movements that are out there. We will empower them. We, the people, through the grand jury, will empower all the Liberty Movement groups across America.
Okay, and I'm going to be going back to him. Can I tell him there's nothing quoting him on the site now?
Oh, absolutely. There never was.
Okay.
There never was anything quoting him. We did not quote Sheriff Mack anywhere.
Okay.
We didn't use him. If anybody that knows our site and has been around, especially those in the earlier days, they know exactly what's up there, and they know what was on the old site and what's on the new site.
And the video.
And they know. Huh?
The video's not there either anymore.
We took that video off, yeah.
Excellent. And I just want to be able to tell him that and be telling the truth, that's all.
Well, he knows that anyway.
Okay.
But again, anybody who's been with us, we don't use any group or anybody to lift up or move our program forward. What we use is Supreme Court rulings, our founding fathers, natural law, which is synonymous with common law. And no different than what it is now is what it was a year ago.
And believe me, I'm not questioning you.
I
wanted to be able to tell him it's a done deal. There is nothing on there, and he need not worry about it. That's all.
Absolutely.
Okay, great. Yeah. That's great. That's all I wanted to do. I hope whatever you've got planned for the 24th does the trick. I'm really sitting here on tenterhooks waiting to see what happens.
Well, if what we're doing on the 24 doesn't completely break through and just open us right into the courts, it definitely is the spearhead to break us through that eventually will open us into the court. There's no doubt. This is ground zero, Greene County, New York, Catskill, 9:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on April 24th, which is a Thursday, is going to be ground zero.
That'll be terrific, John, and I've got to hand it to you for not quitting.
Well, I appreciate everyone working in this because if we're not, this takes thousands of people. No one person can do this, and it's all of us that are doing this together. So we got to do this.
I was looking on the maps under the states a minute ago, and I found Colorado. They've got 74 people coordinating there, and that's 10 more, I think, than the number of counties. So come on, guys.
Mm-hmm. Yep, let's get moving. Get moving.
Bye-bye.
Hey, John, we kind of had an epiphany here this past month as far as the sheriff and the DA.
We had a lot of epiphanies this month,
I think. Yeah, and what we discovered in going around, you know, because they took our paperwork out, and we said, well, that was
the greatest thing in the world that happened to us. We got a blessings from that because we got knowledge from that. We had realizations from that.
Right, so
we had epiphanies from that.
We're going to go to the sheriff, and we're going to show them what codes they broke, and we're going to have them arrested, and we're going to force them to put that paperwork in. So we went to the sheriff, which was, you know, they kind of heard about us, and, you know, we're a pain in the neck because we're going to make them do stuff that maybe they don't want to do. Yeah, but, you know, the guys we talked to eventually, when they looked at our stuff, they kind of came around and realized we were right, and what the top investigator for the sheriff said, he said, look it. He said, you're going after elected officials. He said, before I can do anything with this, I have to give it to the prosecutor. He said, because I don't have the subpoena powers to go in there, pull papers, and do what I need to do. He says, it really is in the prosecutor's hands. So even if you leave this complaint with me, I have to take it to the prosecutor. Now, what we realized was that complaint can die right there in the prosecutor's office, no matter what the sheriff wants to do with it. Now, I don't think there's too many sheriffs out there that are going to go against the prosecutor and the judge. And like if the sheriff came out and he did arrest the clerk for pulling it out, the prosecutor would get it anyway. And then he might decide not to prosecute. Then they're going to turn around and going to say to the sheriff, don't you ever do that again. We'll get you out of here. So the sheriff needs the common law grand jury as much as the common law grand jury needs the sheriff, because if you got a sheriff that's brave enough to stand his ground, he better have the grand jury behind him, because they're going to try to trump charges up on him and other stuff, and if we have our grand juries in place, he won't get indicted. It just won't happen. And so as much as everybody thinks the sheriff's going to come riding in on a white horse and save things, he better have the grand jury behind him. Let me tell you what, he needs the people behind him, because ultimately that's what this nation is about the people. So, you know, the sheriff carries the orders of the court out. You know, the summonses come down and the sheriff exercises them. And yes, he has, you know, in the old days he had certain tribunal things he could do. He can even, he could even assemble a court, which they don't do today, you know. But to expect him or to ask him to do that in today's day and age, that's a lot of weight you're putting on that guy's shoulders. Let me tell you what. And I don't think Sheriff Mack understands who we are or what we're doing as far as that goes, and how we will support the sheriff, and how they need the grand jury behind them to prevent any shenanigans from going on when they do stand up for their oaths of office. So that was a big, you know, epiphany for us that, listen, you know, all that stuff can get stopped right in the prosecutor's office, which it actually did for us. We went there. He didn't want any part of it. He gave us a bunch of baloney. And basically he gave us a letter in writing that says that he didn't see anything that he could hang his hat on to prosecute it, which was baloney, because we went home and found things that he could have hung.
Yeah, but he certainly gave us something we can hang him with.
Well, yeah, he gave it to us in writing. So
that's right.
Look, it, you know, we're learning every day, and nobody should be afraid of learning. You know, it doesn't matter how old you are or how much you've been through. And I'll finish with the saying that the wise man can learn from a fool, but not the other way around. So you know what? You can learn no matter who it comes from or how. And that's a lesson to be taken. We should never be so proud that we won't learn something. It seems like I've learned more in the past 8 months than I've learned in years. It just keeps flooding in. I don't know where it's going to stop. But let me tell you. You know, I think God gave us the capacity to learn forever as long as we don't get Alzheimer's or something. But anyway, I'll yield the floor now, John.
Okay, we'll take our next caller. And our next caller is the 704 number. Go right ahead.
Hello.
Wireless call. Yep. How you doing?
Hey, John. This is Eve in Gaston County in North Carolina.
How you doing, Eve?
Working hard, and we're going to be doing quite a number of counties. We were down for a little bit because our truck was out of order, but we're going to be across the state and getting as many counties going as possible. We're going to try to take the reins like how y'all did it, and we're going to do the same thing here. So I want you to know that.
Okay, great.
We got a goal, and we're going to reach that. I got a couple of very quick questions. One is to send a donation. We don't have any credit cards or anything like that. Do you have an address we can send a donation to?
Yeah, if you go to the donation button, it's right above the blue bar on the right top right side, and you scroll all the way down. I think it's down towards the bottom. There's an address to send checks or money orders. So, and we do have people who send us $5 or $10 or $20, and some are a little more than that, a month, and they do it by check, and every month we do get a check from them, and we do appreciate that. Most people do use the credit card, or they use their debit cards, of course, or their credit cards, and so everybody can afford $5, most everybody. There are some people, look, I was homeless once, and $5 meant a lot to me when I was homeless. And then when we were getting back on our feet and trying to get back out to work and get things going, I mean, you know, $5-$10, there was no way I could give anyone $5-$10. I was borrowing $5-$10. So I do understand the people that are really, really having a problem. But most of us can do the $5.
What we feel like is that people, if everybody does contribute to you, I mean, $5 is not going to break the bank. And like it's hard work, but we will find a way. We will make that happen because liberty means more to me than worried about a thing of milk or, you know, a pack of cigarettes
right.
or something like that, you know?
Right. Well, a pack of cigarettes costs you two times $5.
Well, I don't know.
Goodness. They're up there about $8, $9 here in New York.
All right. Here's my other question real quick. I don't know if you're following what Kevin Annette is doing with the ITCC. He's with the common law, the international common law.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not following, but I'm hearing reports, and you know, we're listening.
They were having the same problem about getting sheriffs to back them up. So what they've done is they appointed their own sheriffs and their own deputies. Is that something that we may look forward to in the
Never.
Future? We have a
Never.
Lot of sheriffs, like in Clark
Never.
County, you've got sheriffs that are not on board. You've got sheriffs.
We will never do that. We will never do that. We will never teach anyone to do that. We will do as we will win them. Look, we don't need to win the sheriffs over ultimately. We need to retrain them. They may not want to be trained. They may not want to listen. But once we get into the court system, we will get in there without them. We don't need them to get into the court system. They're not going to be able to, as much as people think that they're going to leverage us in, they can't do it, okay? But we will get into the court system. We will use the procedures and the processes. And once we get into the court system, now they're going to listen to us. And if they don't listen to us then, it's going to be a hard road for them. Because listen, hey, buddy, you know, I'm offering you every morning to come out there to train you, to bring you to the point where you need to be, and you don't seem to want to be there. You know what? You're going to be looking for another job. Because as soon as he breaks the law, we're going to have to pull him out of his office. And, you know, we won't necessarily indict him. We'll threaten him with an indictment. But he's going to, look, if he's not obeying the Constitution, he's got to go. Okay? If he's not preparing to protect his county, he's got to go. Okay? We know that they're trying to put martial law on us, and they want the feds everywhere, and they want to take control of the states, and he needs to kick them out. And if he's not prepared to get ready to get educated in order to know how to do that and to work with the other sheriffs and the counties around him, then he's got to go. He's got to go. And we will go and talk to the sheriffs. Once we get into the system, the very next Sheriff's Association meeting we will go to. As a matter of fact, we may not even wait for that. We may put up a stake somewhere in the middle of the state and call all the sheriffs and tell them, come here to be here because we're going to talk to you. We're going to spend the day. Bring your lunch. We're talking. And hey, we'll have every sheriff come in.
The other thing the other epiphany that we sort of had was, you know, in New York State, we have the unified court system. And the sheriffs administer to the courts. So a sheriff in the court, I don't care what county he's from, if he's in the court and something's going on, or if we have a sympathetic sheriff from another county and he's not from our county and he's there in that courtroom, guess what? He can make an arrest in that courtroom because he's part of that unified court system. He has authority in there. So, you know, we don't have to get our county sheriff on board as far as that goes, if we want to use a sheriff. And sooner or later, we're going to get some of the sheriffs on our side, because if they go to our site and they look at it, they're going to understand that what we're doing is lawful and legal and constitutional. So what is not to get on? You know what I mean? What's not to like? I can't imagine anything that a sheriff would look at on our site that he wouldn't be proud to uphold, or, and be anxious to uphold. And the sheriffs that get on board with the common law grand jury first, you know, they're going to go down in history as those sheriffs that understood the problem and the solution. And that's just the way it is. So, and like John says, we have to be careful about trying to redo the government, because that's what they, you know, your Homeland Security and all these other ones get on to when you're trying to do a government over top of the government, when you have people that were elected into office. Right away, that they'll call that subversive. They'll call that, you know, taking the government down.
Right.
See, we're not taking the government down. We're operating under the rules that are there. You know, the Constitution guarantees us common law, and it's they who have taken the common law away, and we're just bringing it back. It's in there. It guarantees us, the Fifth Amendment guarantees us a common law grand jury. Anything else that they put in, guess what? It's illegal. It's unconstitutional. Anything that the government has devised to control those grand juries and those petit juries, it's illegal. It's null and void. And that's what we're going to do. That's what this 24th is about. We're coming out as the people, and we're nullifying their unconstitutional practices. And that's the way it is.
Okay, we appreciate that. Anybody that could do the phone calls, that's what we want. Most of the people throughout the nation can do the phone calls because it's too far for them to travel. And, you know, I believe we're going to have hundreds, many hundreds. I really do believe that. So, you know, only so many people can get into the courtroom anyway, and people will be pouring into the halls and outside, and we need that. And this week, we got a lot of work to do. Hopefully by Wednesday, we're going to be, tomorrow I'm going to call up to find out if we have a judge yet and find out who he is and try to get a communications going with him or her. And we need to let them know that to prepare for cameras in the courtroom and definitely prepare for a lot of electronic equipment in the courtroom. I myself am bringing electronic equipment. I want the recorders on in the speakers on in that room. I want them on. We want them on. And we want everything recorded. We want a copy of that recording. And so we're going to document this in any way, every way we can, so that the people across the nation that are doing what we're doing, everyone that's working with us is going to get a copy of that to see exactly what we've done and how we did it and what really went on. Everybody needs to know. The people need to know.
It's exciting. I'm with you 100%. I wish I could be there physically. But thank you, and that's the only questions I had tonight. And God bless you every day, all you guys. You're just wonderful. Thank you.
Well, thank you. We pray for everyone out there, and we do need everyone's prayers for us, too, so we appreciate that. Thank you. Okay, let us take the next caller here. Wireless caller 775-360.
Hey, John.
Hey, how Craig. You doing? How you doing, Craig?
Good. Just wondering, I didn't want to bother you calling you during the week. I've tried several times, but it's hard to get a hold of you.
Yeah, this week has been the past, well, all of last week was a hectic week. The weekend was tough. We went down to, where did I go? I went down to Queens. Goodness, I spent all day down there. And I did happen to take, when I got back Saturday in Queens, I cheated and I took the rest of the evening off. So my family was wondering who that guy was sitting in the seat watching TV with them. So, but anyway.
Two things. One, I was wondering if you could add myself as well as Ernie Hoke as state organizers along with
Sure. Do me a favor. Either give me a call in the morning. I'll be at my phones here. Or send me an email. Just write the state and the names of the people. And if you kill me, think, give me your email addresses that you use to sign up on, because that's the quickest and easiest way I can find you to flip the buttons. Okay? So give me your email address and his email address, your name and the state, and that should do it.
I'll just try to call you.
Give me a call. Yeah. Or you could throw it in my Skype too, but yeah, give me a call. Don't call me tonight. As a matter of fact, I'm not going to go over tonight. At midnight we're shutting down. I got a radio program early in the morning and I got to get to sleep. So I won't be talking after the program tonight, but I will be up tomorrow morning. Like I said, I got an early radio program, and then after that I'll do a little exercising, and then I should be on the computer, let's say, from, 9 o'clock on.
Your time.
Yeah, my time.
Okay.
Okay?
I will do that. I didn't want to let the cat out of the bag for Dawn and Rosie, but they did have an election on Sunday, and they constituted some more.
Great. Get up there and make sure the switches are flipped so that we register them on the site. I don't know if they've done that yet.
I would imagine Veronica has already.
Okay.
I will check.
Okay.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you. Okay, next caller, let's see, is 828 number, area code 828, wireless caller.
Hey, John, this is Jay from Yancey County, North Carolina.
Mr. Jay, how you doing? Good to hear from you.
Okay. I wanted to go over the address and phone numbers again of the courthouse. You went through that pretty quick, and I didn't get it.
Okay, I will go through it. Let me get out there. It's on the news page for anyone that wants to get out to the website to get the information if you don't write it down. But if you want to write it, it is the New York Supreme Court, Greene County Courthouse, New York Supreme Court, Greene County Courthouse. That's 320 Main Street, 320 Main Street, Catskill, New York, Catskill, Catskill, New York, 12414. The phone numbers, both of these are 518s, 518-444-8760. That's 518-444-8760. That's the phone. The fax number, 518-943-0247. That's 518-943-0247. 0247. And so if everybody can send a fax, maybe they can send, they can make a phone call and send a letter. And I would say we should start doing that over this weekend and through the week. So it's never too early, but, you know, the end of this week, the weekend, and during the week is the time to really bombard them.
Okay, thanks. And I just wanted to say I am so glad what happened out in Nevada. I think that's a pretty sweet win for the people, where they got the land management to back down.
Yeah, but they did they leave yet? Are they gone, or are they still trying to do things?
I believe they've left, but they were saying on loudspeakers, and if you don't disperse, we will shoot you. And they overran the fence and walked right up peacefully and took his cattle back.
Mm-hmm.
Without a shot being fired. So, yeah.
Good for them.
I just want to say kudos to those guys down there in Nevada, and that's a win for the good guys.
Well, amen. Thanks.
Thanks, John.
Okay, Jay. All right, let's take our next caller. Let's see. It's an 860 number. You got the mic, Mary.
Oh, hi. It's Mary Gagnashi from Litchfield County, Connecticut.
How you doing, Mary?
Coordinator. Hi, everybody. Listen, I want to tell you again, John, I'm so excited about your educational program. You know, I'm going to be 52 years old this year, and I'm a lifetime student. I earned an associate's degree and a bachelor's degree going to school at night over the course of something like 18 years when I could pick up a class, and I actually graduated in UConn in 04, but this class is right on to what everything I've been forced to be a pro se attorney in the courts for since November of 2010, in response and in defense of five State of Connecticut versus me criminal charges. I'm a grandmother. I'm a mother of three adult children, a homeowner of 18 years, fighting like hell. Like you said, this is war, big time. Plus, I'm a veteran and a daughter of a veteran. And I'll tell you, I've been in this war for a long time. I was an insider in the government working very naively. And what I found out and ended up getting illegally fired for and 2006 with HUD and Municipal Housing Authority and whatnot. I've got so many government, city, state, and federal level public employees involved in this, including Ask Me, you know. And in 2010, I brought it to the table where I was going to try to launch a lawsuit. And there's no honest attorney out there, by the way. You can't find one, or judge. Everybody knows that. But right now, I've been trying to get a grand jury investigation. I've been telling people for over 2 years at the superior court level. I've put in several motions to have these cases, these criminal cases, and now my home foreclosure of a HUD home, CHFA, FHA home, insured 18-plus years I've been here, and they came after me in my home 2 years ago, so I've been fighting that in the courts, but each court is corrupt and not practicing the Connecticut practice book, nothing. I mean, I've been in jail twice already over these matters. People would believe what's happening to me. But I've advanced it to the Supreme Court my third time in January. They pushed it back to the appellate court. I want to read you my motion. It's very brief. And I've got both of these on the docket at the appellate court, both my criminal, the five State of Connecticut versus me, two that are still active that I said I want these transferred into a proper legal venue. And I've been telling them for 2 years the proper legal venue is a grand jury investigation. And that's based on the Constitution, as everybody knows, the Bill of Rights. I mean, I'm looking at Amendment 5. And all of my Bill of Rights and all of these, I really appreciate that Connecticut is so up in arms about the Second Amendment and, you know, with what's happened here. And everybody with the Second Amendment, but they've been violating my Bill of Rights in the courts for well over 3 years, and I've been crying about it publicly and very loudly all the way to Washington, D.C., to all of my congressmen. Everybody knows who I am. I'm a very well-known and very hated government corruption whistleblower because, we're going to dismantle the 22 million strong army of public employee union people that don't do anything. Thousands of them that I've confronted over the years, including in now the past 3.5 in the courts. But here's my motion. And when I'm in the courts, because I have until April 21st to complete this appeal, to make completely official. I'm missing a few formal documents, and I have till April 21st. Then it'll be put on the docket, and I'll be telling you, to, like you've been putting everybody out, to come. And I'm going to be there in New York, come hell or high water, and God willing, and the grace of God, I will be there in New York. And I'm learning everything as much as I can about common law, and I'm applying it. And listen to this motion. And this was submitted to the Superior Court. It's stamped January 23rd, 2014, and it's stamped at the appellate court clerk's office January 24th, and it says, I motion to reopen and transfer and motion for change of venue in all CHFA versus Mary Murphy et al. And State of Connecticut versus Mary Bagnashi out of Bantam Litchfield Superior Court to a grand jury investigation where my evidence and right to be heard will finally result in a mandatory investigation into all the crimes alleged. We the people are also forming common law grand juries in every county, and I and many others are organizing these efforts. And I signed it pro per attorney, Mary Bagnashi. So, you know, in May, these will be put on the docket, John, and everybody out there. I applaud everybody. This is answers to many, many years of prayers. I've been a government corruption whistleblower in this particular scene with having formerly managed 428 units of HUD public housing. I did that for 6.5 years up until 06. Prior to that, I won't even get into it, but this phase of government corruption, and anybody can Google my name and read all about it, but John, I stand right behind everybody and following in your footsteps. I can't learn common law fast enough because I'm so wrapped up in this. You talk about schizophrenic. These people, I've been going to the Supreme Court. They all know me. Rogers. I can't wait to have eye to eyes with all these people, the clerks, the marshals. You know, I had a conversation with the marshal here in Connecticut at a Litchfield Bantam Superior Court because for 3.5 years I've been bullied by judges, prosecutors, no public defense. I'm going in on this appeal on 5 criminal charges as a pro se. I can't even get a public defender because these people are all public pretenders. They're all a bunch of scam artists. It's nothing but a job creation scheme for all these clowns. And I don't have any problem saying it. I don't want to take up too much time, but this motion is on the docket. I apologized to my Connecticut group last night. I've been out of the internet. I've had accident after accident. When I first threatened the city and state with my lawsuit and going to inspector generals in 3 different federal agencies, going to congressmen and senators, Blumenthal, everybody's involved in this, and we found out that they were involved in dismantling.
They're all criminals. Sheriff, the whole thing's tied together. They're
so
all
working
with each other.
We're in dangerous territory with going up against the Bar Association and the 22 million strong public employee union. They don't want their jobs to be dismantled and for them to be held accountable. That's why they removed the sheriffs in Connecticut in 2000. But listen, I want to hang up. There's no question. I just want to hear what you have to say after this so I stop talking. I'm on fire trying to get all this paperwork in. And I envision what's happening in Connecticut is I'm going to be opening up my house to Connecticut Liberty Alliance and start having weekly or biweekly, monthly meetings here. My house, I can entertain 20 to 25 people in a educational format where all of us can sit around and learn. And I can't wait to purchase what you're saying with these $1,000 copies of the Jurist Handbook. and start giving them to all the clerks and everybody. They know we're coming. I've been telling them for ever since I found out about
it. Well, if everybody hearing my voice right now, and the people who are going to listen to this program after we get off, you know, a lot of people download this program and listen later. If everybody that's hearing my voice right now pushes the other organizers around them, and everyone goes out and gets 100 of these things and go down to your courthouse,
right,
and hand them out to your
right.
To the clerks, get them out to the bailiffs, get them out to go to the sheriff's office, give them a half a dozen or a dozen
absolutely.
Of them to hand out. Anytime you're talking to any of these people, hand them a copy.
Hey, go to
okay?
the Lions clubs in Torrington. I want to start going to all these clubs. I went to the community radio station today. I said I want to when we come out and start getting these, you know, for really trying to get the support for jurists. You know, go to the all of the different organizations like the Lions Club and you know all
right.
of these places and BFWs and really, hey, here, you know, this is what it's all about. You can be a jurist. I had somebody, a good friend of mine, at my house today following my story with all these arrests and everything. And I had the seal, I had to christen my seal on a little. I showed him on the 30 copies of the originals that I made from the 15th of April, or last month when you were in Connecticut on the 15th. And I want to encourage everybody. This was so simple. And, John, thank you for coming out, you and Gerard, but thank you, because it is so simple, folks, to get this several people in a room with a notary public and get these documents, like John was saying, and constitute the counties. And boy, when you get that seal, and it's so impressive, and he's like, oh, well, your name's not on it, and you know, we were looking at notary public seals and whatnot, and I'm like, well, that's because I'm working towards being the
administrator,
you know, coordinator, but I want to be the administrator.
One of the administrators.
But I love
yep.
it. You have to be educated and trained, and you know, like on a training to be in, you know, the investigations and everything. You know, they don't do this in the courts. You can't even get a job description on these thousands of clowns that operate in the courts, let alone get them to do their job descriptions or just their mission statements. You can't even
right.
get them to meet their statutory requirements. Like,
mm-hmm.
for instance, the chief state attorney. You're talking about going to the prosecutor. I've been going to the chief state attorney, the prosecutor, since 08. They have a public integrity unit that's supposed to investigate government corruption. And they've refused to do it. And instead of investigating the government corruption, they've been coming after me. But I keep going to the prosecutor and saying, hey, you're prosecuting me on perjured statements, and you need to start. And in, you know, in Winston, Connecticut, we're losing a mayor. We lost there's so much government corruption, and this is the town over. And on the community radio station today, they were making, I guess I didn't know at the time that it was a joke. He's like, oh, you know, did anybody know what's going on in Winston? They lost another one, superintendent of education. And, you know, so I called up. I said, hey, I've been trying to get you guys locally to do my story. I know a couple of the broadcasters and stuff down there for years, and talking to them on Facebook about different things. And, you know, how come you guys aren't? Well, I know why.
All right. Well, let me respond to some of these things. Let me respond to some of these things if I can.
Okay, sorry. I'm
okay.
Respond, but
well, listen in. Don't hang up.
Oh, I'm not going to hang up, but hang up for me. Just continue
okay.
me so I stop talking.
All right. Well, I'll move you out of the
yeah,
queue as soon
me.
As I'm done.
Mute me.
Yeah.
All right.
As soon
bye,
as I'm
bye,
done,
everybody.
I'll do that.
Keep going, everybody. It's wonderful. We're
right.
saving America. I love it. Thank you, John.
All right. Well, a couple of things. We all should be working with each other. You know, at some point when you're starting to get people in your counties and you got people in counties next door, you should all be becoming friends and organizing and doing things together. And we should all be supporting each other. If I got to go to court, I should have at least a half a dozen people with me. And so should everyone else. We need to back each other up when we get into the courtroom. Otherwise, we're going to fail, at least between now and the time we take the courtrooms back. Once we take the courtrooms back, a lot of these things we don't have to worry too much about. But I want to tell you, this thing with the mortgages and stuff, the whole thing's a fraud. The day you signed your your papers for your mortgage for the loan. Within 3 days, they took that signature, which is not really a contract between you and them. It was really a release form to release the amount of monies from your CESQ funds from the Fed window. So they took that down to the Fed window within 72 hours, and they were paid off. The fact that they're chasing you for payments and they're taking the payment is the fraud. This is the kind of money they're making. It's huge. It's unbelievable. They're paid twice, three times, four times. There's interest on top of that. Then they package it and sell it, you know, and eventually they go through all these processes. You kill yourself for 30 years to pay it off, and then you lose it because you get old and you can't work no more, and you're not making enough money to pay the payments, and then they come in and take it away from you, and they do the whole thing all over again. This is such a fraud business. All of these things, and even when you get through the process of the appellate court, which you're probably going to lose, but because they're all working together on this, but after that, you can always arrest the judgment for fraud, and you can get them for a lot of things, which I'm not going to get into the details of it at the moment, but if it's necessary later on, we will. But they have no subject matter jurisdiction because there's not one affidavit supporting anything they're doing against you. They don't have any fiduciary control over you, and they never filed anything with the federal courts, which is required in order to get that fiduciary control over you, so they can't do anything. They don't have a proof of claim. Again, that has to be filed, and both of these are affidavits, and they're not filed with the local federal courts, so therefore they can't take it anyway. They also don't have personam jurisdiction over you because you've been hijacked into a nisi prius court, and you're not in a common law court, which is what the Constitution requires. And that's just the beginning of the list, okay? There's a lot more, but those are the most powerful ones, and each and every one of them on their own can have your court case overthrown. And believe me, if you brought these cases and laid them out right, you brought this information and laid it out into your case right, they will disappear very quickly. But anyway, let's go to the next caller. Let's see. We have wireless caller 518 number. 526.
Hey, it's me, Kevin.
Hey, how you doing, Kevin?
Hey, pretty good. Hey, did you get that that link I sent you on Preet Bharara?
I don't think I did. In Skype?
Yeah, it's in Skype.
I'll take a look.
Preet Bharara, remember me telling you that he really, you know, he's out to, get rid of corruption in New York State. He's fighting in that direction. He's attorney for Southern New York, United States.
Is this a New York Times thing?
I don't know.
Yeah, it looks like a New York Times link. U.S. attorney criticizes Cuomo's closing of panel.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so this is the article.
Yeah, Cuomo closed. Had a corruption commission that was seeking, out corruption in
yeah, that's
New
that's
York
a joke,
State
isn't
government.
It? That's a joke. That's a joke.
I can't hear you.
Cuomo has this thing going, or he's closing it?
He closed it. And right after he closed it, he received a $100,000 donation from this guy.
Oh, yeah.
In turn started getting tax breaks from Cuomo. So Preet Bharara is checking into this now.
Yeah. These people are all psychotic. I don't know what else to say about these people. They go to sleep at night. They're destroying the people. They're destroying their neighbors. They're destroying children. They're destroying people. I mean, how does someone go to sleep like this? They have to be psychotic. They got to be, I don't know.
They're serial
killers that haven't made the real physical kill yet, and this is how they're doing it. I'm telling you, it's unbelievable.
Serial killers in the making.
Yeah, they have no conscience. I mean, who were these people's parents? Where were the parents when these people were growing up? Who are these people?
You know who's grown. Who's
yeah,
grown
I know who he
parents,
is. Yeah. He's in this particular guy's case. He's a son of an elitist, and they're not American at all.
No.
So they have no allegiance to what their job is to destroy us.
No, but Preet Bharara is on him, and I was telling you a couple of weeks ago, a week or so, actually, the day after I was telling you about you and your art about Preet Bharara, I ran across that article. Because I was just talking to you guys the night before about Preet Bharara and how much, you know, we should try to align with it, since it, you know, mm-hmm. is, you know, trying to bust corruption in the state. And what better place to bust it than in the courts, get these corrupt judges out? Because they're
right,
all corrupt.
Right.
And Preet Bharara, even though he's an attorney, he's a patriot, you know. And he's working, he's been putting bankers away, you know, and what Holder lets him, you know.
Uh-huh.
But he'd be somebody to, you know, reach out to. You know?
We could reach
well,
out to
I...
him, but we're not in his district either. He's south of us.
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
he's as far north as maybe Ulster County. I'm not sure. So,
right.
and the guy that we have, his counterpart up here, he's like into a completely different thing. You know, it seems like they each have their own area of expertise, you know,
right.
and he's not interested in this stuff. He's interested in doing what he's doing. So,
which is
I mean, if we
talk, the dog,
what's that?
Which is milking the dog.
Yeah. I don't know what, you know. What he's doing, but he's not willing to help us, I'm sure.
Right.
You know, Pete, if we wanted him, we'd have to like go down there. Well, he could do it down there. I don't know why he couldn't do it in his own courts if he really wanted
yeah.
to.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
give
again,
him the evidence. He could do it. He doesn't need us. We could make him aware of what's going on and why and let him start working from the south.
Right. Well, you know, I get a lot of phone calls. A lot of people give me information and numbers and names and stuff. And I've taken on the idea. I get so many phone calls coming in. I get people calling all the time. And I get, let me tell you, you wouldn't believe the people I get phone calls from. And so there's so much stuff coming in, I don't have time to go out with it. That's why when people call me, you get my message machine, tell you, don't leave a message because I'm not getting back to you. It's not possible. Can't do it.
Right.
I just can't do it. I mean, when I go leave for 6 hours or something, my desk, and I come back and I can see how many people called me, all these people, it's just, you know, tons of people, and I just hit the delete button all the way down because there's nothing I could do about it. I could never, ever, ever return the calls. So you get me when you can get me, and most people know when they call me, or there'll be other people on the line because I take so many calls every time another person calls. I just keep adding them into the call, and we almost have these mini conferences. And that goes on all day until I decide, well, I can't answer the phone no more because I got to get paperwork done. I got writing to do. I got working on the site, or you know, I just got work to do. So sometimes when someone says, you know, you're so hard to get, I can never get you. Tried all week. There are people that call me and they get me all the time almost. But you know, you call me once, you don't get me. Try me 4 hours later. You know, try me 3 hours later. Try me the next day. You will get me. Okay, but if you try me 10 times in a row within an hour, you're not going to get me most likely, and then you try 2 days later, and it's a bad time maybe, you know, I don't know. But if you try me every 3 or 4 hours, you will get through to me eventually. And usually I'm here during the day, but again, sometimes I got to just ignore the phone to get other work done. Sometimes I'm on a phone with an individual that it's such an important conversation, and I can't pull no one in, you know. And, well, you know, some things are happening there. So, but whatever it is, I try to be as available as possible.
That Pete Ferrer, he's a United States, he's a federal United States attorney, right? What's his title?
Right, United States attorney.
United States attorney, New York Southern District.
Yeah, but
right.
You know what? What about that document I got with an assistant United States attorney in Florida signed a
yeah, they got too much power. All that is illegal anyway. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, but he's in Florida, and he's signing a thing to the TransUnion for them to look into my financial from Florida. So
right.
What's that United States attorney? He's not in my district. So why couldn't Pete Ferrer work for us? Here they are looking into my financials for what? Because I'm part of this group, you know what I mean? And they made a mistake and mailed something to me, so I found out about it.
Yeah, I don't know if he could understand or want to understand what we're doing.
Well,
so I really don't know. I look at, here's the thing. You see, when someone calls me, I got the upper hand in the sense that they've came to me, they know something about me, or they know something about the organization, and they're interested. If I call them cold, now I got some explaining to do. I haven't got time for that. So that's kind of the dilemma I have. So I figure God will get the people to me that I need to be talking to.
Yeah, that's true.
But I hear you. I hear you. I mean, I just, I don't know. He'd be a real cold call for me. You know, I called the sheriff out of the blue because I really thought, you know, I saw some videos. I mean, this guy was, he's top dog here, you know? And he was the sheriff out of, Chemung County. And he's also, the president of the Sheriff's Association. So I made a cold call to him. And he thought I was from outer space. He didn't understand anything I was talking about. So a lot of these sheriffs, they talk the Constitution. They only use the words, and they may be something heavy on the gun issue or something, and specifically that's it. And that's it. They don't know nothing else.
Right.
And they've already, look at, we're already in their magazine. You know, if you read these police magazines that go out to all the cops, including the sheriffs, okay, they talk about us terrorists all the time. We are defined as terrorists. As soon as you start making certain words, certain key words, you know, sovereign, for instance, we're a terrorist, man.
Right.
You're a terrorist. They got you on. So they're teaching the cops, and then they're teaching them what to look for, and they'll find more and more evidence that we are that, because all the things that we're doing that our founding fathers, they have no clue what it means. They don't know. They've never been taught. So anyway.
Well, they teach them that our founding fathers were terrorists. That's what they teach them.
Exactly.
They've had it hidden from them, too, you know. But I just thought, you know, because he does go after corrupt bankers, so he's got to have some idea that this court system is, you know, holding hands with.
Well, look, he knows how bad it is. He can't be where he's at in that position without understanding what's going on. He knows. So what does that mean now that he knows, you know?
Yeah.
How do you interpret that? Because I don't know. Me, I couldn't hold that job because I'd either be dead or I'd have to leave.
I'd have a full jail, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Me.
Exactly. Exactly.
Empty
out the county. Get all the innocent people out of the county jails, which is probably about 95% of them. Okay, and then fill them up with those people.
Yeah.
So. All right. Anything else?
No, I think that'll do it.
Okay. All right. Thanks for calling, and we'll talk to you later.
Yeah, I'll talk to you guys soon.
All right.
Bye. Bye.
Okay, take the next call, Gina, 732. Gina.
Hi, John, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Hi, John, everybody on the call.
How you doing?
I briefly touched base on certain things. A lot of the stuff that we're dealing with has been an agenda for many, many years, and people have been warning certain people. And even before I had personally dealt with corruption, I was always there to try to help others. But, you know, it seemed like people who they think nothing is happening to them, they just won't open their eyes or take those rose-colored glasses off for some reason. I mean, come on, that's why you have people that have experienced things so that you don't have to go through what we have all experienced. But I guess, you know, as time goes on, they'll open their eyes, and we have to do the best that we can to save the republic and restore this nation the way have it be ran the way it's supposed to be ran, so that we can have a life and enjoy the life that we have been, that special gift that we have been given from the Most High. And I just want to briefly touch on
that's very important. That's a very important point. I just want to expound a little bit on that, and people need to understand this. You know, if you read the Constitution, it talks about this government being created for the sole purpose to protect certain things. And one of the things that they are to protect are our blessings of liberty. And that's a key word, blessings, the blessings of liberty. Our founding fathers understood liberty was a blessing. It comes from God. If he doesn't give it to you, you can't have it.
Mm-hmm.
And people think that they're going to get it without being blessed. Forget about it. The blessings of liberty. Our founding fathers understood that, and we better understand that too. So I just wanted to make that point. Go ahead.
Okay. All right, I wanted to touch on the police state that we live in and the actions of the police state. It says that our life and liberty and rights as American citizens are being invaded. Now, this is stuff, literature that was done like over 15 years ago, 20 years ago. And they were trying to open up people's eyes and tell them, you know, reclaim your sovereignty, reclaim your place in society as opposed to what's being done to you. It says our life, liberty, and rights as American citizens are being invaded, assaulted, and violated daily by both the willing and the unconscious agents of the sovereign power structure and foreign principles who control the federal, and that's with a small f, federal United States government. Every day, these agents pass thousands of new statutes, which routinely are violating the law of the land. Routinely. These multifarious statutes have made criminals of virtually every American, while increasing numbers of people are suffering from unemployment, hunger, sickness, homelessness, imprisonment, and bankruptcy. The hidden agenda of the sovereign power structure, I'll say so-called sovereign power structure, is an unquenchable lust for power to control every facet of our lives. And they are not hesitating to use their police powers to enforce their hidden agenda. Now, these numbers that's quoted in this here, this is years ago. It's more than that now because it says there are 53 federal police organizations with 79,000 troops. They're not talking about the United States military. They're just talking about federal police organizations. And it was 53 at that time. This is 2014, so now tell them how many it is now. And the ACLU and the NRA oppose widespread abuses of civil liberties and human rights committed by these police agencies.
Well, if you think that's alarming, we have over 600,000 foreign troops on American soil, and they've been here for quite some time. We're an occupied nation.
So if that doesn't open people's eyes, why are foreign troops on this land if there isn't a hidden agenda to overthrow people?
That's right.
People?
You know, they came in here, under the guise of doing exercises. Well, how the heck long does these exercises actually last? I mean, these people have been here for a long time. You know, Ron Paul has been complaining about this since at least 2000. I heard about him complaining about it in 2007. And at that time, I think there was something like 30 or 35,000 foreign troops. And they kept coming in and coming in and coming in. Today, there's over 600,000. You know, look at, if that's not enough to get you out there to constitute your jury, your county, then I don't know what is enough to get you to go do it. Let's get it done in 2 weeks. Everybody in that's hearing my voice, get out there and get your county done. Add it to the state. Get together with the other people in your state. Let's get organized. Let's get studying. Let's get prepared. And let's go do the job we have to do. We are out of time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we are out of time. It is midnight. We are out of time.
You got to look at the bright side of this, though. And that's the fact that the longer these foreign troops stay here, the better they like it. They want to stay. They like us. They don't want to go back to their country. They may turn around and help us fight, for all we know. Look at remember when Russia and China were afraid to send athletes over on the Olympics because they used to defect? Maybe that's what's in store for these guys. Who knows?
Yeah. I want them out of New York State. And I'm sure Jersey doesn't want him, so we're not going to send him to the other end of the tunnel.
I don't know if you ever heard the story about when, I think it was Khrushchev came over here to visit the United States, and it was back in the 50s sometime, I think, or maybe the 40s.
Yep, I remember the story, but go ahead.
And, you know, they were following him around with a contingency, and he had his guards, and the FBI had theirs and all that. Well, he's riding around someplace out west, I don't know which state it was, and he takes off in his car, and he ditches the Secret Service, and he drives out into the country, and he pulls up to some little country store, and he gets out, and he runs in the store, and he says, I was told that everybody in America is allowed to have guns. He says, do you have a gun? And the guy said, yep, right here under the counter. And he pulls it out, and Khrushchev was like, holy crap, it's true. he got a big lesson that day, you know, because he thought it was propaganda. And he wanted to find out for himself. It's a good thing he was out west. He was in New York City, we'd be in trouble. But you know.
He might have got mugged.
Yeah, right. But that's a true story, and he did that. And, you know, I'm telling you, that might be one of the things that has kept us free for as long as we have been. You know, the fact that we do have that Second Amendment, and people over here, look at this year, this past, since Obama's been in office, the gun stores all have signs up. The world's great. What did they say? He got the award for the greatest gun salesman of the year, you know, because every time he started to do something, they couldn't keep up with the gun orders. There's more guns on the street since Obama got into office than before. So, you know, as I know they're single-issue peoples, but let me tell you something. The Second Amendment is a big one. It's nothing to be laughed at. And there,
that is
the
major
more,
one. That's the one that's going to bring us
there's more guns
together.
And ammo out there. I think I don't think that, like, Obama's thinking straight and his handlers that aren't Americans don't understand the true gravity of that situation. You know, Americans, we have guns and ammo, and we're not afraid to use them. So, you know, and maybe that thing over in at the ranch over there was another putting their toe in the water, just like they put their toe in the water in New York and made this SAFE Act to see how quick they could get this gun control in. This is another toe in the water to see how much the people will resist something like that. So I'm hoping they're learning something anyway.
All right. Anything else, Gina?
I'll try to get through this real quick. I just want to finish that and touch briefly on one other subject that I hear people talking about a lot. Okay, to finish this up, it just says that the greatest lies of our times are delivered wholesale and daily by our government. Truth is an ever more endangered species as we plunder the earth to our own self-annihilation. Have the American people become lemmings marching blindly, instinctually to the apocalypse? Here comes a smiling government bureaucrat. Hi, I'm from the government, and I'm here to help you. Their help is fraud, theft, lies, and hundreds of thousands of more police officers on the street to fight the elusive wars that rage in our souls. The Violent Crime Control and Law Enforcement Act of 1993, H.R. 3355, is your superhighway to fascism. This bill, when signed into law, will abolish the Bill of Rights, which basically the way they're doing everything through this corporate thing, you could say it's gone. That's what we hear at the National Liberty Alliance, to put it back where it needs to be. They abrogate due process, which is mostly gone, and cancel any pretense of checks and balances against the abuse of government police powers. It will have little impact on crime. This law is only the most recent of a series of statutes passed over the last 12 years that curtail even the most rudimentary of civil rights. It says, through statutes and administrative rules and regulations, the federal United States government is routinely violating your right to privacy, your right to contract, your right to travel, right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Through statutes and administrative rules and regulations, Adolf Hitler took control of Germany. Reclaiming your sovereign citizenship is not just a novel intellectual idea of some fanatic cult leader. There may not be any sanity until we, the people, get our government back under control of the people. And it goes on to say that, did you know that the government can use your household or office garbage to incriminate you? And I have just recently seen this happen where they have the regular garbage trucks that come through, and then they had this other truck come through where they put everybody's individual garbage in their own separate garbage can, not in the little not in the back of a garbage can that just mixes everybody's trash up. They had these other trucks come by, and if this house garbage will go in a separate another garbage can that owned by the city, and it has a little label on it, and this one, and then they go through each person's garbage. And just like it says here, did you know that the government can use your household or office garbage to incriminate you, including your medical records, psychiatrist, or your attorney's private notes? Custom agents are routinely searching passengers leaving the country for smuggled items, including excess cash, Foreign mail is open, and bank tellers are being ordered to report suspicious transactions. The FDA raids health food stores in pursuit of super vitamins, herbs, and other unapproved nutritional supplements at gunpoint. They send the FDA in there in these health food stores at gunpoint if they get news that, you know, maybe they're selling stuff that would undermine the pharmaceutical companies, that something that could heal you. They if they didn't approve it, then they're going to send their goons in there at gunpoint.
Well, we the people can stop all that. We the people can stop all that with what we're doing right here in the courts. We can stop that. You go ahead.
Okay. So let me just go. I'm just going to read this real quick because I hear a lot of people talking about the UCCs. I had past experience with those UCCs, and what they do is they put you right back under the jurisdiction. And the only thing that's signed is when they have this thing called the collateral list, where you list all your stuff that the government claims, and say they own you, then whatever they own that you have, they own that too. So what they do is you file a UCC, and they have a thing called a collateral list where you have to take back, and it means everything from your eyelashes, your skin, your stool, your blood, your fingerprints, everything you have to put on this, your children, your property. And then you file it. But what's happening is, okay, the Uniform Commercial Code, or UCC, is colorable law. So if that's colorable,
that's right.
What are you doing but putting yourself
right? Yeah, you're messing. All they're doing is messing around with the fiction. And when you're messing around with the fiction, you better know what you're doing, because you can get bit by it. I'd rather stick to the point that they don't have jurisdiction over me, period. End of subject. I'll also make note, that, hey, I don't see any affidavits here. You know, where did they get this authority to come after me? Who gave them fiduciary authority? Who gave them, where is this proof of claim on me? And believe me, you just bring those things up and they want to crawl out of the courthouse and climb out the window. Just, they want to get out of there. Okay.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
this is, but you don't want to play in their ballpark. I'll tell you right now, because if you play in their ballpark, you better be real good. Because they're gonna use the rules to put you in jail.
Mm-hmm.
That's
why you gotta get together with
UCC
your neighbor.
UCC stands for Uniform Commercial Code, and in the corporate law, that's what they use for to do business. The Uniform Commercial Code, and it's not law; it's colorable
right.
law,
that's
and it
right.
gives the appearance of law.
Well, it has authority within the commercial processes,
right.
and it has authority internationally. But what they've done is they put into the fiction. And, your SESQ account and all that stuff, and they tied it right into that whole system, and that's where you get off into the crazy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people look at you when you got six heads when you start talking about this stuff if they've never seen it before. They have no clue. It sounds like something from the Twilight Zone.
Mm-hmm.
And I think these people do. Maybe they come out from the Twilight Zone. I don't know. They certainly don't come from any place I know.
Me either, because like you said, how can they sleep at night with the stuff they're doing? It's amazing.
But I would like to incorporate again on the thing a little earlier I brought up, and that was the blessings of liberty. Just think about that statement that our founding fathers put right there in the preamble. The purpose of government is to protect our blessings of liberty. Think about that.
Right.
Now, let me ask, everybody needs to think about this next question. If God decides that he wants to bless us with liberty, who do you think is going to prevent that from happening? Nobody's going to be able to prevent that from happening. If God wants to give us liberty, you're going to have it, period. End of subject, nothing to talk about. Game over. So that's why, some people do complain about this. You know, we bring God up once in a while, and we bring up a Bible verse here or there, and we make the points, because the bottom line is liberty is blessings. And if you don't have that blessing, you ain't getting it. And so we the people, have got to go make our rights with God. We have to get into our prayer closets and talk with our Maker and work it out. And that's what everybody needs to do. I'm not going to tell you how to do that, but you need to go do that.
Most of the solutions that God gives us and inspires us to are very simple. Don't be looking for a complicated solution. You know, look, get together with your neighbors and drop your garbage off at their house. Everybody switch garbage. That'll mess them up. You know? Here's a simple solution. Grab yourself some agents, and we'll put them in a cage and feed them vitamins for about 2 months, and then we'll let them go. And they'll be new age hippies. They'll be singing vitamin cures. Now, I'm just joking, but you get the idea.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's like you heap cold on their head. You gotta listen. One of the reasons that this whole thing works is because we cooperate with it.
Yeah,
I
let them do
I
it.
I think every month we should have a new project. You know, next month we'll all switch Social Security numbers. See how they like that. You know, I mean, it only works.
I'd like to switch bank accounts. Anybody put a bank account?
Nobody's gonna want mine.
I need
it. Send it out. You fill it up and send it back. No. Anyway, no, really, though, it most of the solutions that work are simple, and that's just the way it is. That's just the way God works, and that's the way. Even the solutions to our energy problems, it's all simple stuff. It's all about hydrogen and water and things that are already present here, you know, vibrations and sound waves and all the stuff they've been hiding from us. It's all very, very simple stuff, and we just have to, you know, one of the reasons we're not doing it is because they're hiding it from us, and we're not blessed because we've lost our way.
Mm-hmm.
We've become too worldly, and we've sat in front of the TV and let them sell us SUVs and high fructose corn syrup. That's why we're where we are. It's not their fault. It's our fault.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, let's, and don't blame the judges on everything, too, because a lot of times, look, they're trained a certain way. When you go in there and you give them certain signals when you don't really know what you're doing, and then he sees certain signals and he knows right away you're in equity, that's how he's going to rule. And that's the way he's trained. And that's nobody's fault but your own, you know. So just like John says, you know, they say, oh, well, you know, that guy made a bad ruling. No, he didn't make a bad ruling. You went in there and didn't give him anything to hang his hat on. And you didn't protect your jurisdiction, and he ruled on your jurisdiction. Yeah, it stinks, but guess what? You didn't protect yourself by doing the proper, you know, due diligence investigation, and didn't present yourself in the right manner. And so, look at he's kind of controlled too. So you're in there playing this game, but you don't really know the rules, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's so true, because I had like you said, do your own investigation and come with your own things to counteract what the state fabricates. And I did that, and the judge jumped up off the bench and said, "Look, I'm not adjudicating this case." And he literally flew out of the courtroom like Batman, you know, because I laid in front of him. He couldn't refute it, because I showed him that what the state had put together was a total fabrication, and I showed him. The same thing on a federal level, and it was nothing he could do, because it was right there in his face, and I could never get any real evidence to them, and that's how they stop you from getting justice, because they never want you to present the real evidence.
Yeah, well, that's why this movement we're doing is so important, because then you mm-hmm. can at least go sit in front of a grand jury of your peers and present mm-hmm. it, and then you wouldn't have that problem.
All right, yeah.
And so we got to get moving.
Yep, we do.
Okay, we done? We take the next caller? You got anything else you want to add?
No, that's good. That's enough for now.
All right, Gina. Good talking to you. All right, God bless. Okay, let's take our next caller. Reliable. 863, Reliable.
Yeah, this is Ray Fiedler in DeSoto County, Florida. John,
how you doing,
and Gerard,
Ray?
I want to thank you guys. I am so proud of you guys. I just got involved in this thing about a few weeks back, and I'm turned on to it. I'm a Christian, and I know that the thing that the federal government does, I think state government does to us, is they create fear. And as a Christian, I know that God hasn't given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And we need
Amen.
To realize that. We're dealing with the enemy right now. And we need to realize that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And as long as we just don't just quote that but believe it, we can
Amen.
Accomplish anything through Christ. So I just want to thank you guys. And I'm coming to New York. I don't want to miss this. I understand that it's a gamble. But to me, it's I spent money on worse things than this. So... I want to thank you guys again, and just make you aware of the fact that I believe this thing's going to happen. I really do.
Oh, we do too. We really do. All of us involved here, and the people that are really the most involved people across the nation, all believe they're here because they were put here for this purpose. You know, when we look at the prerequisitional requirements of knowledge in order to do this and all of this to come together, and sometimes we're missing a piece and we're coming right to that wire, and then all of a sudden we have an epiphany in the last minute, or something goes wrong, like just recently, and when they pulled our papers out, which we thought was, wow, that this is really going to be a setback. No, this was a lesson. We had a couple epiphanies that came out of that to move on, and we have a different mindset, a better mindset. You know, we're always looking to enhance and get to a better understanding of what's going on. And believe me, we have a really good understanding on how this whole thing works. And that's only by the blessings of God, in my opinion, because I certainly didn't plan myself to be educated in this way, to come to this part, time in life. And I know Gerard feels the same way, and many, many people across this nation who are involved with us in a very heavy way feel the same way. I don't even belong here.
Your website, and there's a wealth of knowledge on there. And I'm 67 years old, so I can't retain things the way I used to. But I do know also that the Bible says that fear is brought on by lack of knowledge.
Amen.
So the way to overcome
fear
is to learn. And that's what I hope to do.
Uh-huh. Hear, hear for that. Amen.
Right. Well, that's all I had to say. And God bless you guys, and looking forward to meeting the two of you. Hopefully.
Okay, appreciate it. Okay. Godspeed.
You too.
All right, let's take our next caller. Edward, how you doing, Edward? You got that mic-a-roo.
How you doing, John? Can you hear me okay?
You're breaking up a little bad. What are you coming in on?
On the high-definition, the flash phone.
Okay.
That. If it,
yeah, a little squeaky. That's strange, but go ahead.
All right, well, let's see. Is this right there?
It's pretty poor, but try to, you know, hopefully you're only going to make short statements and we'll answer them, but go ahead.
Right. Okay, that's a shame. But anyway, I don't know if it becomes a problem, but it'll be quick. First of all, my heart goes out to these people calling in and with the problems, you know, especially Mary in Connecticut, you know, the things she's going through. And it's just a shame they're trying to just pick people one by one. And that's why it should.
You know what? Try moving your mic. Try moving your mic further away from your mouth. Maybe that'll do.
Yeah, I think you're too close or you're turned up too high because it's vibrating like you're talking through cellophane.
Yeah.
Okay. Is this a little better right here?
It was for a second. Pull it a little more. Take it a little more away from your mouth.
Right.
Now try.
Okay, what about this?
That's better.
How it goes. You're still breaking, but let's see how you go.
It's a shame. The other week.
Right there is good.
It's not too bad. Yeah. And you can see, you know, with the calls you're getting, you know, they're just picking the people off one by one, so they're not able to put up much of a fight. And that just proves that the present system, it doesn't work. You know, that alone. And the reason I'm saying these things is that, you know, people need to have many reasons, you know, to get behind the, you know, we need thousands of people to be working, you know, to be joining.
And we do. We have thousands of people across the nation. We have thousands of people already registered, and we have many, many thousands more that have not registered. You know, there are lots of people I know, even my own county, that's kind of with us and following along to some degree. But they're on the wire. They're on the ledge for whatever reason, a lot of different reasons. But I think a lot of reasons is they're afraid. They're afraid to put their name somewhere. But we don't have time to be afraid, and I can't say that enough. We don't have time to be afraid. You think you're afraid now, be afraid enough to not do anything, and then see how afraid you're going to be a year from now when the Nazis come marching down the street and drag you out of your house, because that's where we are heading. There is no doubt in my mind about that. History tells us, never before in history, the things that are happening today, they've happened before, and they've never happened before, and the Nazis didn't come down, or the Marxists, or some crazy group didn't come down to pull you out of your house and drag you away. So usually they take you to the backyard and put a bullet in your head, and the garbage truck comes up and picks you up later.
Right, right. And it's just like, a woman just said tonight, about how she's trying to help them before they have to go through what she went through.
Right.
And that's what, it's such a thing that people don't realize that if they don't do something, they will be going through the same thing and maybe even worse.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Is this sounding just a little bit better?
A lot better. We're not hearing too much crackle at all.
Excellent. Now, I changed to a USB mic, so just if that helps. And then also, you said about these people that are supposed leaders, you say they act psychotic. And that's true. It's amazing. I asked a question once on a conference call. I said, how come these people, remember, they have children and they have to live in this society. Why would they want a society like this? And the answer I got is people are mad. They're insane. And I never thought of that, but it just seems to be the only, and this gentleman is about over 70-something years old, and that's what he came up with. And for you to say that also parallels that. I mean, it's just insane that these people would want their children to grow up in a society like this that they're setting up.
Did we lose you?
No, I'm here.
Oh, okay. All right.
But but the main thing I'm trying to just focus on is trying to make it simple for people to understand this. Now, your site, of course, is a wealth of incredible stuff. And I'm just trying to put together like one page to get people to come to your site. See, the thing is, I get people to go to the site, but then they don't really spend much time and they have to hunt around and stuff like that. And
yeah, well, the key thing, when you send them to the site, the key thing is to first of all follow up with them. You got to send them to the site and say, hey, look, read the front page, see what this whole movement is all about, because that front page really lays out the basic idea on who we are and what we're doing. But it is that video that really talks about the power. So if they read the front page and they watch that video, there's a good chance you got them hooked as long as they've been primed. Remember, some people have not been primed. This is too much for them. It's meat, and they're still sucking on milk, It's just too much for them. But that's why, the best people to go to are the Liberty Group people, because they've been primed. They've been frustrated. They've tried a lot of things. They're seeing, and every time they do something, they're seeing the criminal activities. They're seeing the problems. They're seeing the resistance. They're seeing that there's something wrong with these people that we have put in office and that have been hired by the government. These people are sick people, and they're frustrated. So when you offer them a solution that we have discovered, and they see that, wow, they're on board. They understand this is it. There is nothing. I can make that claim. I challenge anyone to prove me wrong. There is nothing out there that's going to save this nation except for what we are doing right now. This is it. The only other thing is lock and load, and that's our plan B that we really don't want to go to.
Right. Well, I agree. I mean, in just 1 year of your site, have really come down.
Yeah, you're fading away. You might want to get a little closer now.
Sorry about that. I was hoping
that's
with this
with this mic, it'd be better. But no, you've come leaps and bounds in just 1 year.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Everything we are coming up, I think we are probably at our 1 year anniversary. I had to go back and listen to the tapes to see exactly when we started this, but I think we are just about 1 year, and what has been accomplished in 1 year is nothing short of a miracle in my opinion, because I have been involved with a lot of groups, even groups trying to work across the nation, getting everybody connected, and I've seen lots and lots of groups spend lots of time trying to do this, and they're still not there, and those who seem to be somewhat, really just, it's a lot of empty, there's not many people, they got their names on the site, but they're not doing anything, there's no activity. So when we did this, we knew one of the most important things to do is a Monday night program, or Tuesday, it doesn't matter what night, but you have to be active every single week, you got to do something, you got to give people the news, tell what's going on, and give them opportunity and hope and push them along, and then they start pushing, and they start pushing. And what we've accomplished in 1 year is nothing short of a miracle. We're in all 50 states. We're moving into like 7 countries. I mean, who would ever think of that? We never even had a plan to do any of this. Our plan was just New York. We figured we'd do New York, and then everybody else would want to see what we'd done and then just copy us. But it didn't work that way. Again, my plans never work out. So.
Well, I like, the new strategy of the last, few weeks you were mentioning, like, just try to solid with the grassroots, because we don't want to, like, push too hard on any national stuff or too public.
Hey, we'll stay right under that radar, man. I like being under that radar.
And I agree 1,000%, because we're not really ready to take a hit at this time. When we have more people, then we'll be ready for anything.
Right, right. And that timing that'll happen exactly when it needs to happen. Because there's someone out there really planning this, and it certainly isn't me.
So that's why I agree with that, and of course to keep stressing that. Because we could move quickly. Like I said, that's why, I'm trying to make this as simple as possible for people. And if possibly, this Monday night call, of course, is fantastic. And as long as we have these people on right now, I'd like to just suggest that everyone, if they could write down just the simplest thing, that how this could help and on an everyday basis, would be great. Just to give an idea, I believe that, this will prevent many crimes. See, the reason crime is being portrayed is because they know that mostly the people can't do anything. We'll just say 9 out of 10 or 45 out of 50 would not be able to do anything because they don't have the money and the time to do it. But if they know that we have this, once this comes in place, this should prevent crime, because then they know that someone could just go to a grand jury and then they're going to be prosecuted.
That's right. That's why we know. That's why this is so obvious to success. Look at this. This thing is so simple. It's pathetic. It really is pathetic. It is so simple. And why didn't we find this before? Well, because I think the Lord wasn't ready to show it to us before. Everything's in His timing, not ours. But yeah, this is so simple. And we've got to keep it simple. It really is very simple. Once you fix your courthouse, your local courthouse, you have just fixed anything that has any control over in the political realms, you have fixed it all. Because they can't do their criminal activities unless they have a judge able to look the other way or to work the scam on you with them.
Right. And you see, and that's just one point. Like, in other words, and I agree with you, to keep this as simple as possible, but to get the people involved, they have to see how this is going to... Now, imagine what a help that would be, that would reduce crime. And then, of course, other points, it's just so many different things that this would be able to, help on an everyday basis. And one of your pet things are the family and the probate. They're just taking advantage of those people, on just an everyday basis. And that would cease.
You know, all of it would cease, and they'd stop destroying the family and the children, our children, because they do that in the family court. Absolutely, it's a mess, and we can fix it all very quick. It's all going to disappear. Look at it's. You go in and you turn the lights on, and all the rats and all the cockroaches, they kind of disappear. You know, they just go away. You know, New York City, I lived in New York City all my life, and the truth of the matter is most places are cockroach infested, but you rarely see them. And you got to walk in, you walk into the kitchen and you pull that light on and you'll look at real hard and you'll see a whole bunch of movement and there's nothing. They're gone. Well, that's what these criminals are.
And then another way that this movement could be helpful, I mean, as you know, there's been thousands of groups that have started, patriot groups, liberty groups that have started since 2008. And, you know, and most of the groups, of course, are all doing things, you know, they're trying to do things in a legal and peaceful way. But what about the groups that are not? See, if we could put something forward, then this we could beat them to the punch. So they could, if people see that there is a way, then they won't do something that might not be correct. Because when people get desperate, you know, they do things that might not be, you know, the best route. But they feel they have no choice. But if they know about this, and this way, you know, they would go along with this type of, you know, legal and peaceful way of taking our country back.
Well, I truly believe in the next 6 months or so that everybody in America is going to know about what we're doing, because I think we're that close. I really believe the way that, by looking to see the way things are moving, and I'd like to see them move faster, but my anticipation and the way things are moving in the next 4 months, we're going to have most of the counties of the United States done. You know, there are some states that maybe just still aren't moving very fast, and a few counties here or there. But generally speaking, we're going to be pretty much there. And I believe we're going to be in the courthouses, but clearly by that time here in New York and in Jersey and Connecticut and many other places in Florida, I think we're going to be in the courts. And that means everybody in this nation at that point. Then that's the snowball effect that could look at. They can't stop us now anyway. What we have started cannot be stopped. You just can't stop it. It's just too many people. It doesn't matter who they take out. You can't stop it. But when we get to that point, then game over. So we're not that far away from it, and we can get there quicker than 6 months if everybody that's listening to this program and you know it realizes and looks if their county is not constituted, get it done in the next 2 weeks. Look to the county to your right. Look to the county to your left, to the north, to the south. Find out if they're constituted. Make it a phone call. Why ain't your county constituted? I'll come over and help you. I done mine or I'm doing mine. Come over and help me. I'll come over and help you. Let's get it done. Let's get this thing done, people. Let's do it. Look at the states that have done it. We are in great shape, literally, in the Northeast. I mean, we have New York. We have Florida. We have Connecticut, Rhode Island, New Jersey, New Hampshire. We got Arizona, Massachusetts, Maryland, and Maine, okay? I mean, the Northeast is cooking. Let's get the West going. Let's get the midsection of the country going. Let's get moving. Let's do it. We can do it. Let's do it.
Yeah, excellent. And, John, you did get to that magic 10 states just within the last few days. You were at 9, and just a few days ago you got Maine.
Right,
and,
right.
You have the magic pen. Just one quick thing. You mentioned about a radio program you're going to be on tomorrow. Is that something that we could access at all?
Well, I don't know. This is a regular radio program. Mostly I do a lot of the internet stuff, but then a lot of that internet stuff sometimes they go off onto radios. This is local radio, WKIP, radio station here in the Hudson Valley. So anybody that can get WKIP in the Hudson Valley here, I think it comes out of Poughkeepsie. You know, they can listen in. I'll be on at 7:30 in the morning, 7:30 to 8.
Excellent. Well, thanks again, John.
All right. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. And keep up the good work. Let's get it done. Okay, next caller. Let's see. Sarah, you got the mic. We only got a couple of callers left in the queue. We got a half hour, so we probably could take a few more if you want to pop in there. But at some point, when we do hit midnight, I'm closing down. I got to get to sleep. Sarah, you got the mic.
Hi, good evening. I just wanted to remind everybody on the call that, you know, the more that we go through all the documents on the site and definitely the jury handbook, the more knowledgeable we are to be able to field questions, so it's not just John answering questions, as well as, you know, once the state organizers get going on their meetings, they can help each other amongst themselves. So that will take a lot of pressure off of John and, you know, that.
Right. That is the key point. We all have to become educated, get to the point where we stand on our own with our own, in our own counties and do what has to be done. We'll lean on each other until we don't have to lean on each other anymore for that purpose. But then when we become together, we will be a force to be reckoned with.
Exactly. And, you know, one of the most important things in order to stop all the fiction is to know things. If you know things, they can't hoodwink anybody.
That's right.
This is why it's so important to be knowledgeable and to spend time, even if it's, you know, 15 minutes every night before you go to bed, you're going to read 15 minutes on these documents so that by the end of a month or two, you're going to know a lot more than you did without doing it. And
also, you download the MP3s, put them in your MP3 player, and turn them on in your car. Turn them on if you're jogging. Turn them on if you're working out. Turn them on if you're doing mindless work that you don't need your mind for. And listen then. I mean, you know, this is another way to get knowledge. And again, knowledge. I'm a firm believer. And I didn't do very well when I was younger in school because I tried too hard, and it wasn't until I came to a realization I don't need to really remember anything. My problem, I was trying to remember everything and memorize, and I couldn't do it. It was horrible. I was a mess in school. But when I came out of school and I started to self-educate myself some years later, I came to the realization I only need to understand something. I struggle to understand, and I struggle to puzzle these understandings together. And you know what? I never forget it. Next thing, you never know what's going to spill out of this mouth of mine. I don't know what I'm going to say. It just comes out. Why? Because I've absorbed all this stuff through osmosis. And is that just put it around you, and you're going to absorb it. It's just going to go into you, and you're going to have it. And, you know, as Jefferson said, if a people expect to be ignorant and free, they expect what never was or never will be. You know, so if you expect to be ignorant and free, forget about it. It's not going to happen.
Exactly. Now, another thing in regards to school systems, they like to feed people all this busy work. And therefore, you know, it's like people have to get over this idea that you have to be fed information. The documents are there. Get up and do it. That's your job, each person, to access it, to learn it, to use it, not wait for someone to spoon-feed you. And that's part of the shame that we have to overcome in the school system, is that everything is spoon-fed to the students and fed with all kinds of busy work to memorize things instead of learning how to do the research.
Right.
So,
you know, and I also these tests they give us, and that's why we decided not to go this route. You know, we don't want A, B, and C because we don't want people guessing, because they may get it right, they may not if they're guessing. You know, and that doesn't help nobody. It certainly doesn't help you. And we also didn't want it to true or false because it's a 50-50 shot there. So, you know, we took the example off the eighth grade test that we got out of Kansas from 1895, I think it was, which we hand out whenever we do meetings anywhere. I always hand that paper out. And people are blown away by the questions on that test. You know, college graduates, you know, people with doctrines, they can't answer these questions on these tests. And why? Because they never really had a real education. So eighth grade, I think, was the top grade back then. You didn't need any more than 8 years in school, and you had a really good, firm education, unless you were going to do a doctorate in something. Then, of course, you needed extended education. But other than that, generally speaking, eighth grade was it. And they teach us, they give us pablum in school. They don't teach us the necessary things. But looking at that eighth grade test, they asked you questions, and you had to write. There was no A, B, C, and there was no true or false. No, you had to know the work. You had to do the math. You had to know the answers, and that's the way we got to get. You know.
Absolutely, we have to get more critical thinking, more critical questions, and you know, again, to organize within each state. Now that many of these states are constituted, we need to be active within each state, so that we're interacting with each other as a cohesive group.
Right. Bear in mind, a lot of these states that have become constituted, they're not really ready to really push very hard. They can go and file the papers and see if they can get access. You know, but generally speaking, some of these states do not have the necessary person at the helm to be able to take this into the courtroom. And again, this is why all eyes need to be on New York right now, because what we're going to do in this courtroom is what you're going to have to do. And it's a very simple process. None of this stuff is difficult. You know, get yourself around the information, the common law, the Constitution. Get yourself around this stuff. Again, osmosis is the key on that. But once you have all that and it's starting to sink in on you and you start to have these epiphanies, you know, when two or three deep thoughts come together, and believe me, you do this stuff, you're going to get a lot of deep thoughts. When two or three deep thoughts come together, they combine and pieces come together in like a puzzle, and therein is your epiphany. And you're going to have epiphany. We get epiphanies all the time. I like to use that word because that's what it is. I mean, it's like a revelation. It's like, whoa, I you know, just came together. Look at that, you know. And that's what knowledge does to you, and especially in this knowledge, because you're puzzling everything together, and all of a sudden you'll see it. So when you start working all that out, and you keep working and chugging along, and then you see how we lay out what we're doing here in New York, it's going to come to you like that, and you're going to say, wow, I see it now. I know what to do. So the people will arise, and they'll come up, and we trust that God will rise them up amongst us in every state.
Oh, absolutely. And we have every incentive amongst ourselves to do this. So,
right.
You know, that is a given, that we have plenty of incentive. And we just need to, you know, stay focused and no fear, because the fear is just, again, a lack of knowledge, like quite a few people were saying tonight. And that's another thing that I wanted to really bring up. A lot of these people have had partial knowledge. They knew that they were being cheated, but they went to the systems that perpetuate the cheating instead of, you know, there was no grand jury when they started these things. But, you know, now things are going to open up that you don't even have to deal with the corrupt courts or the corrupt agencies. So once you in New York break that precedent to take back the grand jury and other states follow through, this is going to open up so much real justice that so many things all over the place will start fixing itself, because it has a chance to rebalance and go according to true law, which is natural law.
Amen. And that's the key right there. That's what we have to realize, is that we will have as much justice as God will bless us with. Again, I get back to the preamble. Our founding fathers understood this. The government is here to protect the blessings of liberty. Liberty, not to protect our liberty, but to protect that which we have been blessed by, the blessings. So that is key. And when we really appreciate what that means and work off of that principle, now we have the potential of success.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I will be putting in my order for probably a couple hundred of these jurist books, because there's a lot of court clerks, sheriffs, and these, you know, people in the community around that really need to read this and start understanding what they have been missing. So I challenge everybody to try to get at least 100 so that they can share it with people far and wide around them, neighbors,
absolutely,
churches,
yeah.
Because the more people are aware of this, the more we can stand as a cohesive community.
Absolutely, and everybody's job is to work their county with this. This is the biggest part of our project. It is the most important part of our project. Why? Because these booklets will educate the reader, and you're going to be giving it to people in positions where they need to become educated. When they start reading just the first couple of pages, they're going to be blown away. They're going to say, I never heard this stuff before. It's just amazing stuff. I mean, go read the booklet. It's up online. You could download it and print it out and read it. I mean, it's there. But we need to get them in, you know, we got them in a little form. It took us a long time to do this. Believe me, I hunted out publisher after publisher after publisher to get a price. The cheapest price I could get was like $2, $2.50 a piece. And that was the price for me to purchase it. We still have to put the shipping in there and any other cost that comes with that. And so that just wasn't acceptable to me, because I knew that there were places like the constitutional booklets. You know, you could buy these for 35 cents a piece. Now, they order by the millions. That's why they get it so cheap. And we can, too, eventually get it that cheap. Okay, but right now at 65 cents delivered, that's a price you can't beat. I mean, that is, when I found this publisher, that was the guy to go to, and that was that. And so, but I have to order a minimum 10,000 at a time. So, you know, I'm waiting for the orders to come in before I make that order, because obviously, you know, I don't have the money. I'm going to scrape the bottom of the bucket to get my 100 that I need, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So. But everybody, yeah. This is the important thing. Flood your county with these booklets. And, you know, and again, if you can only get 100, that's fine, you know, but three people in a county getting 100 apiece, that's 300. Get together, talk about it. Make sure you get them out to the proper people first and foremost. You want to get them into your county clerk. You want to get it to the court clerks. You want to get them to the bailiffs. You want to get them to the sheriffs. And even to the judges. You want to get them to them. You get them out there.
Absolutely.
All right, we got a few more callers. It's starting to get late, so I'm going to move on. Appreciate your call in, Sarah. Okay, appreciate your call. Thank you. All right, let's go to the next caller. We got a couple more callers in here, and we only got about 17 or 18 minutes left. Ronald, you're next. 714, Ronald. Ronald, 714, you're next.
Okay, can you hear me?
I can hear you now, Ronald.
Okay, well, I thought I'd actually put my hand down, but no worries. This is my head spinning. There were some very passionate callers that called in and said some things, and I think that the grand jury is the only solution. We've had, like, for instance, the person that way back talked about what happened in Bunkerville in Nevada seemed like a big win. It was amazing what went on this weekend, but the government, the BLM is regrouping. They are actually regrouping and they're going back in. Sheriff Mack was on a show today and he talked about the BLM in Las Vegas. Metro says, no question, feds are preparing to raid on the Bundy home. So that's an unfortunate situation, but it just goes to show that things are really bad, like you've been saying. Okay, so we've got, and then there was another woman who talked about the idea of all these in past times and read a lot, very passionate people, great stuff, but pointing out the problems. But in all of that, which is great, outlining the problems doesn't outline the solutions. The grand jury, it's a common law grand jury, gives the solution. That's awesome. Okay, so I'm just talking off the top of my head because I thought I wasn't on this again. But
yeah, well, we could definitely thank God for giving us that solution. You know, this United States versus Williams, it's very interesting. This case came out in 1992, and a lot of people have tried working with what Scalia put out there in this decision on United States versus Williams, and no one has been successful with it. and we understand why, and we can see why. But even more than that, to really be successful, we knew, even doing it the right way, it would be almost near impossible unless we had every county on board within the state. And that was our first focus. We realized we had to organize the entire state and get something going in every single county, in every single courthouse. And we need to go at these people together in one shot and in one accord and take them to the mats. Of course, we didn't plan on doing the nation. That just kept up. We were kind of just drafted into that. We had no intentions of doing this national. And now we're international, and we never had any intentions of going international either. But that's how fast it is growing, and that's how powerful this is. But the thing is this. This happened in 1992, okay? That's 22 years ago. And only now is it really starting to move. We picked up on it, and we're going with it, okay? And it's happening, and we're being successful. We have people everywhere. It is just moving like a wildfire. And that's impressive, and that's interesting. And this is like the last minute. This is the Calvary. Oh, absolutely. This is the Calvary. Hey, this is Moses coming out of Egypt. This is the people coming out of Egypt, and they're stuck between a rock and a hard place. And then that water just spreads, and they just get out, and that's it. And judgment and delivery comes together at the same time. And it's always that way. It's always the same way. You know, it's David and Goliath. I mean, who could think that you could take them down so easy and in such a short period of time? It's just amazing. It's that simple. The truth is very simple. It doesn't get complex. Keep it simple.
Keep it simple. Absolutely. Yes, indeed. I don't want to rattle on like an idiot, but I'm so appreciative for this. I do support this. I'm sending you, I will do it by check, sending you monies for your, you know, I just don't want to do this electronically.
We appreciate it. We can use the help, and everybody can afford at least $5 a month or whatever. You know, some people actually send 50 or 100 bucks a month. Not too many, but we do get that, and believe me, that's a big pump. But $5 a month, if half the people involved did that, we'd have all the money we need, and we'd be
absolutely
going. So
absolutely.
We appreciate anyone that can support us.
If everybody on this call could do that, and I'm doing it, you know, then that'll be helpful, and it'll get more people
right.
Listening. Anyway, I don't understand God's plan in this for why California is kind of halted. I heard you say earlier that we've got good people to make a position. That's really good to know. Last time I called the people in L.A., I'm in Orange County. It was before your website changed, and it was late last year. And I talked. There were things going on. There was a high energy thing, and I don't know what's going on now. But I do believe. I don't want to say it's a cop out. I do believe there's an order for things, but at the same time, I don't know. Anyway, I have people to call.
Well, I just had a private meeting with California. Were you on that call?
No, I was not.
Okay, we had a private meeting, I think it was just over the weekend, just a couple of days ago, and I think hopefully California is getting their act together and working together and doing what they got to do. I'm praying for that. I know we had some exciting people that were taking that commitment that were well fit to actually take the bull by the horn and do it, and so I got a lot of hope because we do have, I think, 11 counties done out there already,
11,
if I recall.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we have a lot of people. California's got a lot of people on board. You guys can do the whole state in a month. Yeah, in 1 month you can get that whole state done. All you need, and I believe you guys are working on it now, get a hold of Joe. Okay, he's the state coordinator. He's probably, you know, you should get all of them, but get a hold of Joe, talk with him. And you know, you need a couple more state coordinators. You need someone in the north, you need someone in the south, and maybe a couple in the center. You know, and if you can get the state coordinators working together and everybody work in their area, because California is huge, you know,
yes.
It's a long state. So you need more state coordinators, and you can get the job done literally in a month, no doubt about it.
Yeah, the state coordinators right now are in the south, in Riverside, L.A., I believe. And
right, you have the people, though. You have the people throughout the state. You just need a good organizer, a couple of good organizers or coordinators is really, well, organizers too, but coordinators, because all the people are there. You got the people. Get coordinated and do it. So talk to Joe and work with Joe. Maybe you can help him.
Joseph, yes, okay.
Yes.
760, okay, all right. Well, that's awesome. Thank you very much, and God
Thank
bless you.
You
and all prayers are there, you know.
We need it. Appreciate it. Godspeed.
Okay. Godspeed.
Okay, bye-bye. Next caller, 262 number. Go right ahead. You got the mic.
Hi. I was just just looking on the internet, and I'm just seeing how much the government is attacking all over the country. When you think about it, you know, like in Connecticut and New York with the gun rights, and there's a Michigan vet there. They're attacking him and his pig farm, and what they're doing to the Bundy, and then on the our soldiers and their rules of engagement, they're killing our soldiers, and then with Obamacare and the cancer patients literally dying on the border, not protecting the borders. And I'm very happy, and I've only been on board. I'm in Wisconsin, and I've only been on board like a week now, and I'm just happy to find this and be able to have the people empowered to be able to have a voice and have an ability. And the attrition in our country, the destruction of values and morals, and I think that this is an opportunity to empower the people.
That's right. God has given us a chance here, and all we have to do is do the right thing. You know, life is about choices. You know, it's very simple. If you boil it down to the simplicity, within the next 10 minutes, you may have a choice to make. Make the godly choice. Make the right choice. You can do it on every little thing. And all of a sudden, everything's coming together for you. Why? Because you're going to get blessed for that, because you're doing the right thing. And it is really that simple. So we have to do this in the courts. We have to do the right thing. We want to bring justice. We're all about justice, honor, and mercy. That is the principles that we operate under. That's the principles that we have to drive in the mind of every individual that comes on board with us, every individual that comes to sit on any jury, whether it's a trial jury or a grand jury, no matter what state, what county, wherever they're at, the principles must be embedded deeply into them. We'll get 8 hours with these people before they have to go and start to get into the process. And those 8 hours, we have to drive those principles of honor, mercy, and justice into their hearts and into their minds. They know it already. And once we put that into them, we let them know, look it, when you make that simple decision step by step, and you do it with honor, and you do it with justice, and you do it with mercy, you're going to sleep like a baby that night, because you did the best you can, and you made the right decision. And God's going to bless us for it. Why? Because we're doing the just thing. We're bringing justice back into the courts, and that's going to honor God.
Well, I just want to say thank you so much, and I'm really glad I found this site, and I'm glad for the Monday night opportunity to listen and learn and find out more about it. And it kind of keeps me focused, the Monday night meetings, so that I, you know.
Yeah, these were most important. We knew this in the very beginning. And, you know, we've built a lot of different groups and stuff, never nothing as big as this. But we realized in order to keep a group going and in order to keep people focused and active, you know, you have to massage the lumps on the log. And this is what Monday night meetings are all about. I mean, this keeps us going. It keeps us active. It keeps us focused. It gives us hope. We see the successes. We also see the failures, but then we see the fruits that can come out even of the failures. So it doesn't matter, but the thing is we get to the end, we have to be successful and win the war. And we will do that if we move and do it honorably. We will do that.
And you know what's really kind of funny, because I have my oldest daughter, she's she was in Iraq, and so she's a decorated war, you know, soldier. And it's just so interesting, because knowledge is important, but if you don't, I mean, even in her college, she had to learn a value system. And in the military, they have a value system. So they had to learn certain values even before they learned the knowledge.
Right.
And so both military training.
That's what we got to do. Amen.
Thank you.
We got two more callers and 5 minutes left, so we're going to move on.
Thanks for
the call, and we'll see you next Monday, hopefully. And bring guests, bring people. Everybody should bring more people to our Monday calls. Okay, next caller is the 253 number. We got two more callers left. 253, go right ahead. You got a couple of minutes. I'd like to get the last caller in.
You got it, John. Thank you. Couple of things is I have a couple of things. I've been, you know, in this movement for a long, long time, and I think really there's a lot of people on the sidelines waiting to see if there is enforcement.
Correct.
That seems to be where there's a lot of people who understand what's happening in this country, but, you know, you just look at what happened to the Freemasons in Montana. All those guys were telling the truth, and they all died in prison.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's, I think that's what everybody's been waiting for.
Well, you know, when you look at this whole thing, it's the only solution. And what's really going to make it, you know, what if we we do have three times more, at least three times more than what we have registered on our site.
I believe.
I know that for sure, because first of all, I got a list of almost 5,000 other than what's on our site, and that's nationwide. And New York alone, you know, we got 260 people or something like that that's registered. But I have a list that I send email out to people that are involved and want to get the information and so on and so forth. Goodness, I don't remember, 700-800 people, maybe even more. So there's lots of more people involved there. If they only understood and realized that that's what it's going to take. You see, we're building towards a momentum.
Right.
Our success in New York is going to be by us flooding that courthouse and putting justice. You know, this judge is going to be blown away. And a couple of things, I'd like to cover this real quick. We did speak about this earlier, and we're going to make another point about this. Number one, we don't stand up for the judge. This is a chancery court that he's coming in on, and we're going to take that court and bring it back to justice. So we do not rise for the judge. That's number one. There was something else, and to be honest, it slipped my mind. I guess it's getting late.
Okay,
but I'll bring it up next Monday.
I got a couple of real quick more questions, and they can be yes or no answers.
Yeah.
There are a lot of several other groups that I'm aware of that are working and have been working on putting this same type of similar program together.
Right. They're doing it. They got some problems in their programs, and I wish them luck. I've tried to help some of them. We couldn't fuse together, and
you work at doing that?
Oh, with numerous groups. Not fusing together, but you see, the thing is we're building grand juries in every county,
yes,
and they are self-operating. They're the rubber meets the road. They are the people. I don't control them. The state, there's no state leaders to control them. They control themselves, and every county must operate that way. And so we can't join another group. We can't fuse together. But they can send the people into our system to work with us. But what happens is some of those people have come in and they started to bring poison in.
Sure.
When I say poison, things that's going to cause us major problems. And we have to stay to the judicial process and procedures. You see, we know what they are. We have to stay on that because they can't touch us. As long as we stay to the processes and the procedures of the court and how we get into the judicial system and what we can do in the court, and we have so much authorities that we bring. Anything we say, we have an abundance of authorities to prove our point. These people are silent. They have nothing to say. The only thing they could say is lie, okay? And they themselves don't do it directly. They get someone out here or over there like Fox News or someone because they did a terrible story on us. They just did nothing but lies.
Right.
You know? And they knew the truth.
And then another real quick, I know you got another caller, but
another
real thing that I'd like everybody who's listening to this to work at is to eliminate the word try in our vocabulary.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I say that, if you look up the definition between try, it leads one to failure. It allows one to fail. And so I've been working on this for all my life. I'm 61 years old, so I'm not new to this planet. But a better word to say would be working on it instead of trying something.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just a little helpful hint. And
well, by God's mercy, all my life, especially when I went out into the workforce, I had a few unique situations, and I went into service, and I came out with more unique situations. And then after that, there was nothing I couldn't do, and I knew that in my heart and my mind. So anything I settled myself to do, I didn't care. I knew I was going to get it done. I knew it was going to happen, and it always has. And that it is. It first starts in the brain, you got to believe.
That's
and, yeah, you will have failures. But those failures are blessings, whether you realize it or not. It's the school of hard knocks.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of lessons that I've gone through, and I wouldn't be to the point that I am in my life if I hadn't gone through those lessons.
Amen. All right, I got to move on.
Thank you, John, and God bless
thank
you.
Thank you.
And I know the Prime Creator is all behind all this. So.
Well,
just
amen.
Like he was when the original paperwork came out. So anyway, thank you. Bless you all, and
thank you.
Wonderful evening.
Okay, let's go to the next caller, 623, and I have another one behind that, 516. You got 1 minute, sorry. Maybe next week we can get more time, but go ahead, 623.
I just had some suggestions on format. My name is Bill from Arizona.
How you doing, Bill?
And what I was thinking is that if you did your opening prayer, because God's got to be in this, or it's going to fail miserably.
Well, you know, it is true. I know about the prayer part, and I've been thinking about that. In this situation, I don't think I may do something a little different next time, and maybe read maybe a couple of lines of scripture that maybe impressed upon me during the week, and just to share that. Mm-hmm. And you know, in more of a more closed thing, when you're with a smaller group, you know, opening with a prayer is okay, but in a large group where people are coming in, and it's very difficult to get into that. It's kind of hard to do. But I'm going to try to figure something out with that. And we do bring up and raise up the Lord as often as possible. And most of our scriptures, I kind of try to stick into a lot of the Old Testament, but we do New Testament too, of course. Mostly because you see. Most of us share the Old Testament. You know, the Muslims share the Old Testament, the Jews, the Christians. You know, we all share that Old Testament. Now, there are some other religions outside of that, but that's very minimal. But again, you know, everybody needs to go to their prayer closets and work that out with the Lord. And so, Everyone gets a blessing from realizing and appreciating certain things about the Lord. For instance, you know, the Jews appreciate the teachings of Jesus. They won't deny them, and a lot of them know them. And so the Lord says for those people who believe in his teachings that they get a blessing. You know, and the Muslims, for instance, they believe that Jesus is a prophet. And Jesus spoke about that. If they believe for me as a prophet, they get a prophet's blessing. Now, I don't know what that is. But I do know one thing, a blessing is a good thing. So they get that. Now, there are people who are agnostics. They've left their religion, and or maybe they never had one. But they're just agnostic, and they a lot of those people kind of roll with it. Some of them are not happy with some of the things that I might say about those things. But they stick along because they know what we're doing is right and good. And then we do have some people who are atheists, and I'm not so sure that there really is such a thing as an atheist, but let's say there is. Believe it or not, we've got some people who claim to be, and they stick with us anyway because they know we're doing the right thing, and they're going beyond it, you know. But I do get some complaints sometime about bringing up God too often, or bringing up a Bible verse too often, or I write it in my papers. I get Bible verses in there. I lift up Christ or wherever I can, and I try not to overdose anyone with it. But we're planting seeds out there, and I think people appreciate that. And it is what it is. We do the best we can. I know when Jews talk to me from their perspective, or a Muslim talks to me, and I know a lot of Muslims, especially down in the city, from their perspective, I do not get insulted by what they tell me. And I find that most of these people are godly people, you know. You know, I believe by planting the seed, the blessing will grow.
The other suggestions I wanted to make was is that after you do your hour or whatever, 45 minutes of updates or whatever, is that I'm thinking that maybe you should institute doing, 15 or 30 minutes on the material that you say we need to be studying to help give us a basis, you know, get a start into doing this stuff, and it's done
right.
On
well,
a regular basis.
If you read through the front page, it then leads you to the next page when you join, and that's the Juris page. And so you click on the Juris tab, which you do not see unless you're registered. So once you click on that Juris tab, Therein is the instructions. We even have a excuse me. We even have a 11 or 12 minute video there that talks people through the curriculum, the program. And we recently made sure that all of the courses and essays that are important are put under the tab courses and essays. And each one of these links here bring you to a course. And over on the Juris tab, all of those links are important because these are the necessary knowledges you need to have as a basic. And like in the Juris documents, we write short papers of things that you should know about. We also have how to start a jury. You know, that's an important thing to get into. What is our state plan? We have a state plan. We have a Q&A answer place. But we will... We're putting together a course. I don't know if you were on early enough, but we were putting together a methodical plan course where you would actually sign up for the course right online, and at the end you'll get acknowledged as someone who has gone through the whole course, or it'll show a percentage of how far through the course you are, and this is what's going to be required in order to become an administrator, which is we need 4 administrators for every county, and they're paid positions. And so... Each administrator needs a basic understanding of common law and the Constitution and so on. So this course, when you get through it, by the time you get through it, you will have a very good, well-rounded understanding of what it is that you're doing and need to do and understand to do it. And we also have someone writing a book for the purpose of how to investigate, how to store the evidence that you're investigating, how to create the files for it, and you know, and all that's coming up. And we're going to try to keep that as simple as possible, but we do have someone who is writing a book on that and putting it together, the ABCs of investigation and maintaining your files with all the evidence so you can pass it over into the prosecutor if that is necessary. So we're doing the best we can on that, and maybe, you know, I was thinking of doing some... you know, we're going to probably do some other kind of short courses on specifics, and we'll do that on a maybe with PowerPoint, video PowerPoint, like the front page, that's a video PowerPoint. So we'll do the same thing so I can put 45-minute segments of certain things. So we'll start working on that as soon as we can. The big one that's coming up is probably the best course you're going to have is what's going on in this courtroom on the 24th. That's why we need to get electronic equipment in there to make sure we get this totally recorded. And, you know, the video isn't all as important as the audio, but if we're probably going to shoot for both anyway. But we need to get that onto the audio so that people will see exactly what we did in this court. It is so important to understand how we're going to start this court and bring it through the process right to the end and the conclusion of the matter. And then they'll understand exactly what took place in that courtroom and how it happened, and that now they'll be able to do it in their own state. So everybody's going to have to know this and understand this, at least a couple of people in every state, to bring this through to the spearhead here.
Are you planning to have any courses on how to, I don't know quite how to phrase the question, but I've talked to you about opening a common law court in a current court, the Nisi Prius court, and you know there's a bunch of us out there that need some immediate relief, but you can't spend every week on the calls doing that. And I was thinking if there was some way you could, if you had something put together, or if you could put something together on opening a common law court, so people could get some.
Yes,
you know, relief.
We
on
have
their
own. anybody who wants to do that, they can go up to our courses and essays page, and you can click on court access, I think it's called. Let me take a look. Yeah, court access course. And when you go highlight that, there'll be 4 links, and we have a court case examples. We have law libraries, we have law notes, and we have landmark Supreme Court cases. And all of that really is the key to getting through what you're talking about. And remember, you know, by the time people get through that course, and you should get through this course anyway, because you'll be able to use this to represent, you take care of your own legal matters in the future. But, you know, by the time you get through all these things, it's going to probably take a good 3 months or more to really be able to start executing them, unless you have back some knowledge already. And we hopefully will be common law by then.
So the course that you're just talking about, that you're putting together, will help somebody in their, as well as the common law grand jury, will also help them in their current problems?
Oh, all these courses, absolutely. If you did all these courses, everything I know is there. I mean, everything I've learned is there.
I know you have a lot of material on the site, but when I go in and look at it, I mean, I've looked at the only thing that sticks in my mind is the arrest of judgment. I forget what the name of the thing is above that. I've been through that and I've tried to work that out, uh-huh. but I don't know how to finish it out.
That's where other experiences have to come in, and that's why you have to get into the common law tapes. You need the common law. You need the constitutional ones too. You need to listen to not only Bill Thornton but Carl Miller. You know, these two guys really give you a real good up on what's going on.
So if I go to I'm a new guy. Let's say I'm a new guy. I'm not a new guy, but let's say I'm a new guy.
Do everything under courses and essays, and you're going to be brilliant at what you're doing.
But if I tell somebody to go to National Liberty Alliance, and they go down that page, the home page, and you have it laid out so that they can follow that and learn about the grand jury, but also learn how to handle themselves in court and stuff like
There's
that.
There's a breadcrumb trail all the way through. And, Thornton tells you a lot. Look, you have to put all this information. You got to absorb all this information. And as you're absorbing this information, you're busy puzzling this together. It's putting together a puzzle. Education is putting together a puzzle. And you have to have the whole, all of it. And as you're getting through this, all of a sudden the puzzle pieces start to come together. You get the boundaries laid out. I always start with the boundaries and then work inward of anything I've ever learned. You know, I've done, engineering work. I've done architectural. I've done, general contracting and construction management. And all those are self-taught, and I've learned from just working from finding the boundaries of whatever it is I'm studying and working through the technical books. Well, we've done. This is what you got here. You want to be able to walk into a court and defend yourself and really be good at it. And you have to be gifted as an articulate individual. That's another thing that you do need to argue a case. But most of your cases are argued on paper anyway. But you do all this. Yes, you could be very good. But again, you have to puzzle it together, and you'll get your epiphanies as you go along. And you say, oh, that's how that worked. Oh, this. Look, it took a long time for me to learn the paperwork itself. And it's so simple, it's pathetic, but no one would tell me. There's no book out there. That's why we wrote a book.
One final suggestion on format is after you do your little thing on updates and stuff, I would have a section on, okay, this time is for calls with good news. I heard that on another site, and I thought that was so good. And so it's good news, and it's got to be about what they're doing with the grand jury. It's just a suggestion.
Labeling the
just saying, okay, when you get done with your segment of updates, you say, okay, this period of time, we want good news about grand jury calls only. And then for whatever it is, 5, 10 minutes.
Well, that's
kind
of difficult to do because then people have to come back out of the caller queue and then back in, and it would be difficult to do. So I don't know how I'd be able to do that.
Don't go in the queue.
But let's. I'll tell you what. Why don't you talk to me next week some more? Because it's like getting late. I got to get.
I understand. It's 15
another caller
after.
Came for now. So.
I thank you a lot, and God bless.
All right, thank you. Okay, next caller, 516. I'm sorry, but we really got to make this quick. I got one more caller after you, so go right ahead.
Yes, hi. How you doing, John?
Good. How you doing?
Yeah, I know it's late. Thanks for taking the call. And I appreciate you staying on this phone and giving us all this great information on this whole platform. I actually, it was related to what the last caller was talking about. And I had mentioned it last week on the call, about, and I called it a plaintiff handbook, something uh-huh. like the jury handbook, where it would just be, to teach a person how they would put a case into the court, say, for example.
Right. Well, here's the problem. You know, we do have that in the court case course, okay? And we do have some stuff that, it's pretty powerful stuff up there if you read the cases, and then you have to puzzle it together. If I were to go teach that, and I could teach that, I'd have to take time away from what I'm doing to do that, and so I don't really have the time on the one hand. On the other hand, I kind of breeze through things very quickly, and if you listen very carefully and then come back and you go back at the recording and you start taking notes, you'll see how much information I really gave. Court cases are simple to win, very simple to win. All of these court cases, the IRS, they're all really simple to win. We've won a lot of them. The problem is if I went out teaching this stuff, they'd probably eventually, they'd want to find out who's teaching these people all this stuff. They'd come and they'd get me, and they'll either imprison me or kill me. I got to stick with where we're at right now.
I was thinking something along the lines of just creating a demand for the common law grand jury, because that's what that would create, a demand from people outside of the people that are founding
right.
it. You know what I'm saying? And this would, create that.
Well, a lot of these things that I could teach are going to not be necessary once we get the grand jury in play.
Right, that's
okay?
what I'm saying.
So
this would be
that's
more
the key thing.
This would be more for those people outside of the system that are working with you now, with us founding this, the people outside of this that are going to create the demand from the public, which is part the extension of we the people, right? I just wanted to make that just food for thought. I know I did expect, that answer. I know that it's in the course. You said in the court, courses and essay.
It says court access.
Court access, right. That's
right.
Court
access course, go through that, and that's not even a requirement for the grand jury. I didn't add that as a requirement. I might add some of this. Well, it's not a requirement. This is something that everyone should do for themselves, the court access things, just so you never have to ever hire someone to do it for you. You should be able to walk into court, fill out the papers, do what you got to do, get your business done with, and move on.
But would it be specific to requesting to be heard by a common law grand jury? Because then that would be the demand that's being requested for.
It would be
the why for national, for National Liberty Alliance, for common law grand jury.
Yeah, I'd like to get further into that discussion, but can't do it tonight. Why don't you bring it up next Monday?
Okay.
Bring it up next Monday, and we'll try to get earlier in the call so that, into the box, into the cue box.
Right.
And bring it up.
In the meantime, I'm going to be studying that course, and maybe I'll be able to use the information that you already have there. All right, John.
There's everything you need to look at. Everything I know is up there. I'll tell you right now, everything I know. Now, of course, you put things together, and then you have these bigger thoughts, and those conclusions may not be there, but you'll get them ultimately in the recordings that we have. We got lots of recordings, so you get these little epiphanies that I've had or others have had, and knowledges and clicks that came together, and they're sprinkled throughout all of our conversations.
Right, and I'm sure it'll probably be more like excerpts being pulled out mm-hmm. just for those people that are looking to.
We have someone working on recordings for us, so to pull out specific things and labeling them, so we'll put them up in the Q&A area. So.
Right. All right. That was my question. Thanks for answering it.
All right, and we'll talk to you next Monday. Come back and ask that question again, and bring friends.
We'll do. Thanks, John. God bless.
You too. Okay, we're going to take our last caller, 401, and I want to try to keep it short. I'm not good at that, but I try. That's why I don't ever do it, because I'm trying. 401, last caller.
You there?
Yes,
hello?
Right here. Yes.
Hey, John, Steve from Rhode Island. How are you?
How you doing, Steve? I should have recognized that voice.
Great job. I was listening to me in stealth mode on my other phone because it has more battery power. So I finally called in at the end. I thought that guy from Florida was going to call in again. That guy that talks, kind of a humble man. Mm-hmm. Anyway, just want to wish you well.
Thank you.
That's all. good. Godspeed,
hey,
all that good stuff.
Appreciate it, and we'll talk next month.
Yeah, we'll talk to you. Talk to you soon.
All right. God bless you, Steve. Okay. Lord bless everyone. Just a quickie. We in the beginning of the call, we had a good conversation, maybe, I don't know, 5-10 minutes long, and it happened before we started the recording. I should have that on my other recording. I record twice, two different ways on this thing. And so I'm going to splice it in and put it in right here at this point, and then after that, so we can get that part in. Okay.
Are you talking about the New York State one, or are you talking about the national one, because they're working on two?
National Constitutional Convention, the national level that Michigan signed.
Yeah, that's very scary.
Right. Well, it's happened. They signed it. It's not potential. It's actually occurred. And this is very probably why they're so desperate to distract us with things like the defense minister, which is like the equivalent of our SecDef, saying that ETs are helping the government. Or why we're still talking about Bundy, if the thing with Bundy is allegedly quelled, like they're trying to get us to believe, then why do they still focus on all the stuff going on over there? There's more to the story than they want. They don't
There's
want
only one
to
solution. There is only one solution to the problem. Only one. And if anybody thinks there's another, well, I'd love to hear it. But the only one is to continue doing what we're doing and take our states back and prevent it from happening.
Well, yep. I agree with both of those strategies. I think that concurrent to those, we can also add another, that of reestablishing the de jure states.
Well, I'm not sure I understand exactly what you're talking about or how you mean to go about doing that, shall I say. We're doing that by reinstating the republic within our states.
Well, you're reinstating common law, which is the Constitution, which is supposed to be the de jure state. They put the fiction on top of that right now, but that's fraud.
Well, sort of. The Constitution is still fiction. Common law itself deals with. I'm not trying to get into a nuanced thing here. All I was trying to say was that it's imperative that we address the actual or the de jure government, because they're going to dismantle in very short order. They're going to dismantle the corporate, and then once the predictable chaos ensues, they're going to say, oh, we're the saviors. We're the answer to this problem that we just caused. So come and worship at our table, and, you know, we'll let you have the privilege of being one of our slaves. So getting the de jure reestablished. And I'll leave how we do that to you guys, who clearly know more about law than I do. But I've been studying it now for since 1998, so approximately 16 years. I can tell you that the de jure government needs to be repopulated or re-inhabited, however you want to call that verb. And once it's established, we've got a lot more standing. Right now,
well, that's the plan. That's what we're doing here at National Liberty Alliance by taking our courts back. That's exactly the end results of what we're going to conclude at. It's going to take us. It depends on a couple of things. It depends on people preparing. You know, we're talking about preparing. We're telling people to prepare. This is what you got to do. This is what you got to do. This is what you got to do. Now, some people are responding to that. And what we're trying to tell people, look at education is the whole thing. If people expect to be ignorant and free, forget about it. It's not going to happen. So we have to educate ourselves, re-educate ourselves. So in the process of organizing, which is what we're doing across the nation, every state is going through an organization process as we speak. In the process of reinstating the common law grand juries within our counties by declaring that, that's what's happening going across this country in every state. It is now leaked out into the international realms. There are other countries being involved and want to do what we're doing, and that's great. So they'll be working also with us to some degree, of course, on the global side. But the bottom line is, once we've established the state, here in New York we're established, but we are not completely organized yet. We're not very well structured, and we're not completely yet, nor do we have enough people in New York State educated enough yet. This is an emergency. And we've been trying to say this to everybody for quite some time. We don't have time. Forget about your TVs at night. Forget about your TV during the weekend. Forget about having fun and going out things. It's not even summer yet, so let's get buckled down to business. Let's get saving this nation, because if we don't save this nation, rest assured, this is the last summer I believe we the people are going to have. It's going to be over after this summer, if it doesn't happen by the middle of the summer. We do not have any time left. So people need to buckle down. They need to understand what we're doing. They need to study. They need to organize. And they need to constitute. Now, if people actually do that, then let's take New York State. New York State has the potential of becoming completely back under the common law, the republic reinstated to that which it was in 1789 with a framework to prevent this from happening again. And we could do this in 30 days, approximately. It depends on how much time and how much money, ultimately how much money myself and Gerard and a few other people have to travel around this state to do this. Because every county has to be brought back into order. So we're pushing people in New York to bone up on this stuff. And when we go to the first county, we expect as many people as possible to visit that first county and watch how we do it so that they can do their own counties and they can help other people and teach them to do their counties. But it's going to take, if we can get a momentum going, I'm working with New York State at this point for the purpose of explaining this. If we can get this going here in New York State, In 30 days, in theory, we can bring the republic back. Now, once we bring the republic back, that means we have brought the courts back under common law. That includes the prosecutor and the sheriff. We have then brought the governor back under common law. He understands where he can go and how far he can push now, because after that, he's going to face a potential indictment if he doesn't behave. We're going to read the riot act, so to speak, to both houses, both the Senate and the Assembly. They need to understand how far they can go. We need to straighten up our congressmen and our two senators that go to Washington. And they need to understand what they can do and that they can't take that funny money when they go to Washington and they can't be voting in all these strange things. Now, once we get 26 states done, now we've taken Washington back. And the more states we have, then the more powerful we are. Now we are back. Now we are a nation again with our unalienable rights underneath the people who are the servants that we have hired, the hired help, so to speak. They will be back under the Constitution. Now, the Constitution that we have is a very fine piece of work. I have went through the Constitution myself, piece by piece, to see what authority these people really have. And they do not have any authority whatsoever anywhere to control the behavior of people. But I will tell you that what the framework of the Constitution does, it puts the government in a box, and I think everybody knows this, 99% of what the federal government is doing, and probably more than that, is illegal. It is not constitutional. Well, we can only straighten that out if we straighten our own houses out first. You know, if you're going to try to rule the nation and try to bring it back, you got to first rule your own house. And that starts right where the rubber meets the road, in your own county or in your own town. And if we're all doing that, that's the purpose of organizing. If we're all doing that, now we're going to be successful. And that's the plan. Listen, and it's a very simple plan.
This is going to be better than 1789 because
absolutely.
In 1789, they immediately started subverting the grand juries, the judges, and the lawyers started taking the decision out of people's hands very covertly, and it started right from the beginning. So the common law grand jury, if it had been in place and it had really been working the way it was supposed to, we wouldn't be where we are right now. We would have freedom all the way down through South America with the Monroe Doctrine. We would have that freedom would have spread throughout Canada and Brazil and every place. But what they did was the jury is the consenter to the laws. So when they make bad laws, the juries nullify them by saying not guilty. So and the judges never are supposed to make the decision. And judges are never supposed to make the decision, and the judges are never supposed to sentence. That's supposed to come from the people, the tribunal, which is the jury and the common law grand jury. That's the first thing that they tried to get rid of, and that's what they subverted through the years. And it's been up and down. It actually had a little bit of a resurgence, especially here in New York, when the lawyers, after they rewrote the federal rules of procedure and they took the word presentment out, then a group in New York really went back and made our Constitution pretty strong for the grand jury. Now, they don't like the grand jury because the grand jury is we the people watching them. We do have a constitutional convention that's scheduled that's coming up for New York, and there's a lawsuit that Robert Schultz is doing because the last time they had a convention on the Constitution, they had all kinds of people in there. What he's suing for is no government officials, no lawyers, nobody that gets any money from the government, and that includes retirement fund or any. You can't have a delegate amending the Constitution who depends on his income coming from the government. Impossible. Should never happen. Should never be. And that's what that lawsuit is, and that's very important. And if New York prevails with that and the common law grand jury, that will go across the nation. Because if they want to do a con, guess what? They better, if New York wins that lawsuit that no government agencies, no lawyers, no congressmen, no senators, no police officers, no retired anybody, firemen, anybody that gets a check in any way, shape, or form that's connected to the government cannot be a delegate on that con. And that's a very important thing. And if New York redoes their constitution with real people doing it, then it'll be okay. But other than that, listen, it's going to be disastrous. You're going to have the likes of what's his name, Harry Reid, and all these other people up there amending the Constitution. That's a nightmare.
That's going to happen.
I think we're going to get started in a minute.
Act. Yeah,
they
well.
Amend the Organic Act. They cannot amend the Constitution unless we repopulate it.
Well, they will do whatever they want to do. They will do whatever they want to do unless we stop them.
Yeah,
exactly.
they can't amend their unalienable rights. That's the one thing they can't do. And the grand jury can bring them back there even if they think they did it. You know what I mean?
We're going to talk about this subject tonight
anyway.
So.
All right.
Okay, so I'm coming in pretty clear, I presume, right?
Yes, you are.
Yep.
Okay, I think part of this discussion, you know, I'm on record anyway right now through my Pamela. I'm going to click the record button in a minute. We'll get started with the program. And I think we're going to... when we post this program up tonight, we're going to post part of this conversation up there because I think this was a good conversation. And unless we repeat these things again during our evening program. So with that, Lord willing, we'll see everyone next Monday. Thanks for coming. And let's get busy in our states. Let's get our counties organized and constituted. Let's get educated, and let's take back our nation. Good night.
Your conference recording has stopped. Goodbye.